All right, hey, welcome in. Stroll Radio, how you doing? It's Joel here. Joel Fragmenti, Corey Hall's here. Hi,
hello,
Corey.
Everybody.
Big show
oh,
today.
Bring it down.
There it is. John Tenney.
Hey.
John Tenney's here. Hi, John.
Turn my microphone up a little bit.
Yeah,
I can't hear myself.
It's just music, and music's loud. Ridiculous.
It's our big 2013 holiday spectacular.
It's the most wonderful time.
A very special Joel Radio with John Tenney.
Yeah, jingle your balls all around.
Gross.
Thank you.
It's pretty gross.
I want to say it's over now, but happy Hanukkah to
yeah.
Oh, happy Hanukkah
to the
everybody!
Jews
to all
there?
My to all my Hebrews, my Shebrews.
I lit my menorah this year.
Did you really?
Yeah, I have one.
Wow!
It's right next to my little Buddha sculpture, underneath my Jesus picture,
nice.
Next
See,
to my Scientology book.
Right. Mm-hmm. You keep it all in house. You go. You
it,
never
I
know.
I keep it all together.
Where
I'm
is,
just covering all the bases.
Where is Odin's spear?
I don't have, if any of the listeners have an Odin spear, and they can email that to me, I guess, or a picture.
That's good. That makes a nice, you can prop your cakes up with that.
Yeah.
Happy Ramadan to, we don't have any.
I don't know, yeah.
We don't have any Muslims.
They don't have any.
The Ramadan?
No Muslims. Come on, let's be honest.
If you do, it'd be a huge hit in the Middle East.
If you do, please call 610-552-0746, Douchebag Hotline, which will get a new name.
Yeah,
when
the next show.
Assholes of the Year. It's the Rove Armstrong Douchebag Hotline.
Yeah, that seems a little dated, doesn't it?
What do you mean, the Rove?
Rove Armstrong.
Well, it was they were last year's Assholes of the Year.
Oh, they were.
The top two.
Carl Rove was Corey's number one, and Lance Armstrong was my number one asshole for 2012.
Look at that.
So you'll find out.
Is that the last show of the year is the asshole?
Yeah, it'll be the next show people hear.
Oh!
So that's the big year-end spectacular coming up.
We will crown two new top assholes, and they will be the name of the
That'll
hotline.
Be the name of next year's.
Wow. So it's the something slash Tenney douchebag hotline.
Right, it's
right.
MC Sampler Tenney
douchebag hotline.
If only it could be the MC Sampler.
The MC Sampler hotline. Halfway House.
Yeah.
CC
No, it'll be whoever hotline. We pick as our number ones.
Right.
And that'll be it. And me and Corey, what's great about Assholes of the Year is we don't like talk about it ahead of time. We just come in with our lists and you know,
sit down and hash it out.
Yeah. But the idea is that the assholes of the year are people who like kind of like made a decision to be a dick. It's not like somebody who's like a criminal.
Right.
Like it's not the guy who shot up Sandy Hook. It's you know, the Boston.
Someone
Bob
who's kid. Actively made a decision
to
be a dickhead.
A public figure who's just acted wrong.
Right.
Or done people wrong or said something, you know.
Yeah. It's not going to be Bashar al-Assad because.
Yeah. You know.
Yes, they're legitimately horrible, evil people. But these are more people.
Yeah.
Well, these are legitimately horrible and awful.
They're horrible
people as
in
well.
Different ways, you know.
But yes.
Right.
Yeah. So it's
So you got something wrong with your tooth there, Joel?
I'm just picking my teeth. I said Wendy's.
It's Wendy's.
Mm. I ate a spicy chicken sandwich.
How'd
which
that
was
go
an
over?
Adventure for me.
Was good.
Yeah, I think my mouth is calmed down now.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know. I know Corey would say
when
Corey,
you fan your mouth. When you fan your mouth, does it actually cool your mouth down?
Actually,
does
it? Now, Corey, how spicy would you call a Wendy's spicy chicken on a scale of 1 to 10 or whatever?
On the Scoville scale.
As a connoisseur of spicy fast food.
Right.
I like spicy stuff when I'm not a insane, you know, there's guys that like there's the Scoville scale.
Yeah.
Okay, and they like rate the peppers on the Scoville scale.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, I can eat the ghost chili.
Right.
I'm not nuts like that, but I'm moderately spicy. I like a lot of Thai food and Indian food.
But like I'm saying, like
the spicy chicken sandwich hardly rates.
They gave me a spicy chicken instead of a regular chicken.
Right.
And they gave Corey a regular chicken instead of a spicy chicken.
So you guys just ate each other's meals.
Basically. But, you know, we didn't know that.
So the mistake they made could have been easily solved by you guys trading bags.
No, but Corey's.
Yes,
Corey,
but mine had lettuce on it.
He
so
had
God,
lettuce.
God,
oh, and you can't have any vegetables, I forgot.
Joel can't
right?
have any vegetables.
Anything green and leafy and good for you
fine.
Has to be immediately. Now
I ate a plain chicken. It was delicious. But I would
any
prefer
hint
not
of chlorophyll.
To, but I had to get a glass of milk before I could even finish.
Which
the
is always
chicken.
Healthy for you
which,
too.
Well, it's good for if you have spicy food. Milk is the best thing that cools off a hot. Tone.
Was that whole milk?
It's whole milk.
I have not drank any fucking whole milk since I was like seven years old.
I got
it's terrible.
It's delicious.
It's horrible.
It's like a milkshake.
It's
you know,
gross.
My wife drink skim milk, which I find to be an abomination.
Yeah,
as
I think
well.
You need the fat.
So you need somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think the fat is what almond gives it the milk. Flavor.
Yeah, almond milk.
Well, that's not milk.
Well, first of all, what makes it? Oh, we don't got to get into the health aspects of this, do we?
I'm not. Who's talking health aspects? It's delicious. That's
what,
why you.
Oh, it's
I
delicious,
drink it.
But what other? Like, why are you drinking a cow's fucking milk?
You know what? I saw a comedian that did a bit about this.
Yeah.
And while I normally wouldn't, I'll credit his name as Clinton Jackson.
Okay.
And he said he was having the same debate with his sister, I think it was.
Yeah.
And she said, "Why are human beings are the only people who would drink the milk of somebody else?" And he said, "It's human beings are the only people that drink milk after they've been weaned."
Right.
And I said, and he says, "Well, human beings are the only people, only race or." Whatever. Human beings are the only people that have cookies. That was the punchline.
Cookies.
Yeah. Well, that was a
great punchline.
That's a great, yeah.
I know. I said
so
it so well.
Huge, that's a huge
I
joke.
I delivered it so well.
That's a huge joke.
It's a great one. Well, that was his closer.
But you would drink rat milk.
Well.
No, if it was delicious.
I mean, if they
it
just.
It was delicious.
All milk tastes
is
the same.
Is it delicious?
All milk tastes the same.
If it's delicious, I'll drink
no,
it.
All milk
not
tastes the
true,
same.
Because human milk is not as tasty.
But I'm saying, it's not processed the same way as cow's milk.
Right. Okay.
But I'm saying the only reason we don't drink rat milk is because. They just, it's a tiny thimbleful.
Yeah, cows are dumb animals. And
they've got big,
yeah,
they've
got
big loads
yeah,
of it.
Absolutely.
So the only reason you're drinking it is because there's a lot of it.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
Ugh.
It makes us healthy.
Gross.
I would concur with
it's
John.
The same thing that you know, they make Elmer's glue with milk.
It's fine.
That's why there's a cow on the front
fine.
Of Elmer's glue.
John Tenney, by the way, was a guy I knew.
I thought it's because they made it out of hooves.
The John
that's
Tenney,
Jell-O.
I remember.
My dad doesn't believe that. My dad said not enough hooves to make Jell-O out of, or to make it make.
John
Jell-O
also
out of
would not eat any orange food.
For a long time. For a long time, that was a mental problem.
Yeah,
that was a phobia.
Literally, if
so,
you
well, my milk drinking is not a mental problem.
No, I think that's society.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's burned into you.
It's
perhaps
delicious.
Perhaps it's a comfort
but isn't it
thing.
All
it reminds
societal?
You of childhood.
I mean, Corey's
it takes
drinking,
away the adult
Corey's
problems.
Drinking
of
Dr.
Your life.
Pepper, like who fucking what scientist made that shit up?
That well,
you know,
I
mean,
scientist actually.
His name was his name was Dr. Pepper. I'm
people
sure.
who love plum flavored.
Exactly, but I mean, like that makes more sense.
No,
it's a cola nut and a piece.
I don't
of
drink
plum.
Any cola.
All right, hold on 1 second. I'm gonna get your beverage.
What are you going to get me?
You drink a beverage if I give it to you.
What is it?
I think you'll like it.
What is it?
No, John just
get it.
John drinks healthy.
Is it milk?
No, but it's good.
Okay.
John, you want whole milk?
No.
Okay, I'll get you something else.
Now, I'm going to call bullshit on John right now.
What?
Hold on. Wait. What is Joel doing?
I'm drinking coffee filled with Bailey's.
Bailey's Irish Cream.
Yes.
What is in Bailey's Irish Cream?
Liquor.
Yeah.
Listen, I would drink. I drink soda pop
well, I'm sorry,
when it has
is,
liquor
is,
in it.
What is cream? Distilled milk is what it is. It's,
yeah,
it's
but I mean the
fat.
Bailey's is not. I feel as it's more sugar. I feel
okay, but there is milk in it.
Probably
okay.
Some kind of cream.
So
some kind of pasteurized cream.
No.
But I'm not
boo-boo.
Drinking a glass, a fucking whole glass of whole milk. What is that?
This is a Monster Chaos Energy.
Is it beer?
It's got ginseng. No, I think it's.
Is there any liquor in that?
It's 50% juice energy drink.
Do you have any vodka?
I might.
Can I have that with vodka?
I'll see.
Hold there on. You go.
That's what I want. Now, anyway, what I was saying, Dr. it's a fucking glass, a whole glass of milk. How gross that is.
I don't.
When was the last time you drank a whole glass of milk, Corey?
It's been a while.
Right? Yeah. Of course, because it's gross. It leaves you with
the
phlegm.
Well, I will. The milk that I drink is either in food. Like, you know, in a sauce or something.
It's the most wonderful
yeah,
time of the year.
Or I will put milk in my coffee.
Cream?
Yeah.
Half and half?
Well, cream is also milk. It's a
derivative, I feel.
But it's also, it comes from.
But you also put, yeah. Look, like, a teaspoon of cream in your coffee.
I don't often just drink a big glass of milk.
Right, because it's gross.
And I don't drink whole milk. I drink, like, 1%
right.
or something.
So you're doing everything you can to not drink whole milk.
They're talking about the milk prices jumping, skyrocketing.
Right.
Due to agriculture subsidies or some
like.
Whatever nonsense. And I threatened to start drinking almond milk or substituting almond
yep,
milk.
I like almond milk.
Which my wife, of course, went, too. She didn't want that.
Almond
but,
milk is good.
But she drinks skim milk, which is an atrocity. It's milk without
I just don't
any
drink,
fat.
I try not to drink any milk.
I could switch to, I could, I soy milk.
Show's
is,
already off the rails.
Thank you. Joel had to get vodka.
I have two.
What is in that Belvedere vodka? Is that a mouse in there?
No, it's
what's floating around? There's nothing in Belvedere vodka.
You know what it is? It's the bottom of the cork.
Ugh. No, I'll have the other.
You want this?
What's the other vodka?
No, the cork is in there. That's gross.
Yeah, the cork is in there.
You
want the cork?
No.
Forget that.
Almost nothing in this vodka.
Well.
Is it even worth doing?
Yeah.
And that's enough.
The Belvedere?
No, it's brown. It turned the liquor
it
brown.
Yeah, it's jacked up.
All right. Well, here's a cup. And
I'll take that. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. No one's drinking that monster anyway.
I can't drink very much. I've been having some heart problems lately.
Yeah, that stuff's nasty.
Well, you know, there's not much to drink in vodka anyway.
Right.
What else?
I'll just have a little bit. I can't drink this whole thing. Otherwise, you're going to have to take me to...
The caffeine and the taurine and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would argue. I would switch to almond milk for my regular. Soy milk's kind of gross.
What do you use for milk?
We use like 1 or 2% milk.
Okay. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with like 2% milk, but it also is, you know. I mean, it's just.
I have one of those fake
milk
diseases,
without
though,
milk
right?
without fat is sort of like that's what it is.
Skim milk's atrocious.
I have one of those fake diseases though, right?
Which is what?
Lactose intolerance.
Oh, yeah, okay, that is fake.
Right?
Yes. What are you?
So I mean, I have that.
When did you get this?
I've years. I just never realized that's what it was because I always had a fucking stomach ache.
Yeah.
Until I was like 37.
You had a stomach ache a few months ago on the show.
You know what?
I still have that same stomach ache.
The same thing.
Right here.
A tooth in your belly.
There.
Yeah.
It's either a demon has gotten a hold of your colon,
no.
or it's a tumor. What? This
you laugh now.
You know, this all kind of makes sense though because I've known John for 20 plus years.
Terrible stomach.
Mid 90s, we used to when John had his coffee shop toy store.
Right.
We would order like Pizza Hut stuffed crust pizza, like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And we would sit there and pound this cheese. And it's the worst because it's got cheese in the crust.
Yeah, I've had that. It's not even good.
We were sold on it.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
We would
probably eat those 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And then there'd be leftover stuffed crust pizza.
Oh, yeah.
How is the monster, by the way?
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's fruit juice.
It's probably better than a regular monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It needs more vodka.
That's just been in my fridge for God knows how long, and no one's
drinking
it.
Yeah, the juice, I feel, is better than the regular
soda yellow thing. Or whatever.
Yeah, the design is still terrible.
It's still for asshats.
But, you know, it does say, here are the ingredients. You know, it's always supposed to be, like, in order of whatever. Water, fruit juice.
Okay.
So apple, orange, peach, tangerine, pineapple, white grape juice concentrate.
All right, you're doing
glucose,
okay.
Taurine, natural flavors, citric acid, then ginseng. So I mean
the majority of it is
juice.
Juice. It's water and juice with a little bit of carbonation and a couple energy kickers. Okay, well, that's good. All right, well, listen, do you want to crack into these? Because I brought these for the show today. These are called Hello Pandas.
Hello, Panda.
They're called with new sports printing biscuits with choco cream. I'm trying to derive where these are.
Those got to be Japan.
Those are Japan.
No, hold on a second. It says
Indonesia.
Manufactured by Maija Seika, Singapore.
For a Japanese market.
It's probably for a Japanese market, but they're made in Singapore. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
I love how
these.
I'm sure that you pronounce the name of the company terribly.
I took Japanese in college.
Did
I
you
speak Japanese? Yeah.
Do you give me a little Japanese?
Hello, Panda.
That's your Japanese.
Panda.
Hajimemashite.
Dozo yoroshiku.
That's right. There you go. Watashi wa jan desu. Dozo yoroshiku.
Hey,
genki desu ka?
Wakaremasu ka nihongo desu?
Yeah, for the.
Thank you.
Gojira. There you go.
Thank you.
Right, Mothra. Ghidorah.
And by the way, and back when John and had this toy store and I worked for him. I literally took
everybody wanted me to fire Corey.
So these are little like puffed like cookies. They have little pictures of this is a panda.
Yeah, I need a couple.
And I guess there's chocolate inside.
Yeah, well, they're delicious.
You know what was great was when you opened the store.
Yes.
The first week of the store.
Yes.
I was you're like, hey, all right, we're gonna fire up the store, and you would come and pick me up at like 8 a.m.
Yep.
And we'd go in and we'd brew coffee. And we're like, let's start this door. And we'd open the door.
Tell me what your panda's doing before you eat.
Oh, yeah. My panda is golfing. This one is golfing.
Oh, my panda is playing volleyball.
As pandas often do. And you'd pick me up at like 8 o'clock. We'd go in, open the store, and we'd sit there and look at each other. till about noon.
I would say until 2 or 3.
Yeah, 2 or 3, and then you'd be like, all right, well, I guess you can go home.
Yep.
Corey, what's your panda doing?
Did I get one?
Get a panda treat. Come on.
My next panda is lifting weights.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Pandas are a little chubby.
They probably are, yeah,
good
but
at weight
strong.
Lifting. Yeah, they're strong. I would say so.
All right.
They're probably not eating chocolate biscuits. I'm sure they would.
What's your panda doing, Corey?
My panda's doing karate.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that makes sense.
There you go.
All right, let me see what my panda is.
Those are delicious biscuits.
They're delicious.
I could eat a bag full of these. Oh, I'll take this one that fell out.
We're going to eat a bag full of these between the three of us. This is not a three-person serving of panda biscuits. Hello.
That's a half a Joel serving.
Exactly.
So we'd sit there and look at each other until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
My panda is driving a rowboat.
Mm-hmm.
My panda is playing racquetball or tennis. I think it's racquetball.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's not. He's playing shuttlecock.
Oh, shuttlecock.
Is that what that's called?
My panda is doing archery.
What's that called?
Badminton.
Badminton.
It is?
Badminton.
With the little heavy
birdie.
Front-weighted bird?
Birdie, yeah.
Isn't that called shuttlecock?
There's that, too.
The birdie is called the shuttlecock.
Oh.
Shuttlecock is when you get laid in space.
Hey-o!
Thank you!
Comedy. It's what we give you at Joel Radio. Speaking of comedy, why don't you tell us about your big weekend with Gilbert Gottfried this past Friday at the Magic Bag.
What?
Yeah.
Did a couple shows with Gilbert Gottfried.
You were just hanging out there?
I opened the show.
He was the opener.
You opened?
Yeah.
Corey Hall.
Well, this is cool. Gilbert's been here.
professional comedian.
Yeah, I am actually a professional comedian. Gilbert's been in town the last 2 years, and I was booked that weekend. I wanted to do the show.
Yeah, I opened for him last year.
He's been here for 2 years?
2 years running, yeah.
And 3.
3 years.
Where's he been living?
Yeah, he just hides. No, I mean, he comes to town.
Wah, wah. Comedy.
Thank you. And so I'd wanted to do, I do a lot of shows at the Magic Bag. I have a pretty good relationship with them. And I didn't get to do this last couple shows, so I was excited to do these.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert could not be, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried! This guy could not be nicer.
He's a super nice guy.
Well, and in person, it's not. He's not doing the, when you're just talking, he's like, how are you? It's Gilbert.
Yeah, his real voice is very quiet. I mean, he does his real voice sometimes. You see him in an interview.
I mean, it is the same Gary. He's just not screaming.
Yeah.
And then his scent is just incredibly profane and nasty.
It's loud and obnoxious.
He did, Joel... John would have loved this. He did a good 20 minutes on Planet of the Apes and just how cheap the background matter.
Let me just say, one of my memories that I have of Gilbert Gottfried is, this has got to be 20 years ago. I was flipping through my cable at the time, and he was hosting USA Network shows late
up
at
all
night.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Up all night.
Yeah.
And I was flipping through, and it was Gilbert Gottfried, in a pink gorilla suit holding the head, and as I flipped past the channels, I saw him just as a for a split second, and he went, Planet of the Sissy Apes, and I just went, and I that's a memory that I have from
I'll
20
tell you,
years
after,
ago
after seeing him again, because I watched both of his shows and I worked with him. I caught the late show when Corey was on with him. I'm convinced now that he's the funniest guy I've ever seen in person.
He's great.
And I see tons of funny guys. I mean, Lewis Black I've worked with, and Jim Norton and Bobcat Goldthwait, and all these. But there's something about Gilbert that makes me laugh more than anybody.
Dave Attell is
Dave
Attell's
great too, but just something about Gilbert. He's
Gilbert
the best. I think he really is the best. And it is a character that he does. It is a shtick, but it's just so funny.
Gilbert does this great thing where he's like, well, one, he's not tall.
Yeah.
He's
5'3", I would
shorter
guess.
Shorter than Joel.
Yeah.
And
a lot of guys are shorter than me.
No, I know, I'm just saying.
Well, he's Prince size.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Joel and I are not super tall guys. John's taller than me.
And you send me that picture, I'll put it on the webpage. I'll put it on the
Radio. I got one with us together.
Oh, okay.
But he's got bad knees. And the backstage at the Magic Bag is this weird, like, stepladder. It's like a warehouse
The dressing room has a ladder that gets to it. It's only, like, 4 rungs, maybe.
There's a narrow hallway to load in the band merch. They should really rebuild that shit back there.
The loading is not good enough.
But they've never done it.
It's easier to probably load from the front.
There's a nice little green room.
Stair technology, though, is way, like, people well, just
no,
have problems.
There's no,
the hallway's not wide enough to put stairs.
Yeah, you can't put a staircase there.
So it's got this, like, stepladder that you got to pull yourself up on.
Yeah.
And Gilbert could barely pull himself up because he's got bad knees.
He could barely do it last year, and his knees were in better shape.
I know.
So,
so I was like, did you get surgery? He's like, I should. But Gilbert could not be nicer. And his shows were great. The audiences were good. We had sold out shows. I did well. And I got to sit there and talk to Gilbert with, like, this is what we talked about.
Was it just you and Gilbert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just me and Gilbert. So while he, like, ate his steak tips between shows. We sat there and just talked about showbiz, and it was great.
Like, yeah.
I asked him, I'd read a book, a Saturday Night Live book, and it said that Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy sat in the hallway while the other cast members got fired when they were on SNL.
Wow.
That first season, Gilbert was on
The
Gene Demanian season, which is considered the worst season of Saturday Night Live. And
is that the Robert Downey Jr. season?
No, that's 86. That's the second worst season.
Oh, there you
but
go.
This was like right after the original cast, like right after, you know, Jane Curtin and Gilda left and stuff.
Did you lose one of your panda
cookies?
Yeah,
my panda was playing baseball.
While Corey was talking, I ate a panda playing ping pong.
Nice.
And a panda that was swimming.
I got the golf guy again. But
anyway. I just ate a panda skiing.
So we got to talking about that, how weird that was. We had a long discussion about Scott Baio and how much pussy he gets.
Wow.
It was great. It was really kind of...
I could have had that discussion with you, and I don't know Scott Baio.
Exactly. But this is great because Gilbert knows these people.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? Scott? Why Scott Baio?
Didn't Gilbert get in problems sometime this year or last year or something?
He
said something inappropriate.
He went on Twitter and made tsunami jokes.
Oh, there you go.
Immediately after the tsunami, and was making jokes about how many Japanese does it take to float in a swimming pool. Or, I don't know. He was just doing shit like that.
Right.
And he lost the Affleck account.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he does that in his act now.
Yeah. It's now his opener, and the show is about how tsunami.
He does a great bit about how midgets aren't people. I mean, he's really... It's really absurdly funny.
And he just ends it with, like, a bunch of old jokes, and it's real
funny. He did a 20-minute bit about Planet of the Apes and how, like, Charlton Heston didn't get mad until they put him in a net.
Right.
Before, he's walking around, and there's monkeys, and it's like... Who am I to tell you how to live? And then they put a net on him. But anyway, great stuff. And then he did a whole bit about Dr. Zaius and how he had an English accent, but there's no England in the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, right.
And
that's a good one.
And then and then that led into Catholic.
John's head turned quizzically thinking about it. Oh,
and
shit.
Then it led into it led into Dr. Zaius talking to Catherine Hepburn for some reason.
Yeah, he did this.
Which is a great. Would you like a cookie, Catherine Hepburn? Yes, I would like a cookie. It was great. I don't want to do Gilbert's act.
Yeah, it was great. I mean,
I got to talk to him and hang out with him, and that was fun.
Did you go both nights, Joel?
He only did one night.
He only did one night. Two shows.
And I was at the late show of that run.
How come no comedians come to Detroit?
Comedians come to Jay Leno is coming next year.
You know why? Because big-name comedians go to, like, the Fox.
Right. It seems like they go to, like, Royal Oak Music Theater. I've seen a couple.
Yeah. Detroit.
Right. But I mean, like, it just doesn't seem like I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts.
There are a lot of guys who don't come here. Like, Jimmy Pardo's rarely here.
Yeah, well.
There's guys that you hear
on podcasts. There's guys that'll play, like, the improvs.
Right.
Which we don't have an improv. I mean, the Comedy Castle is really, really close to an improv. I mean, it basically is, you know, it's an A-list club. But it's also, like, you know, there are people who have a certain demand.
Yes, and?
Money-wise. And so Detroit doesn't always... You know what I mean? It's hard to get people to pay $50 to watch somebody.
Yeah, it is hard. But,
you know.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the problem.
Gilbert was super cool. It was great.
Yeah.
Good
boy, this town, though, really tries to get some kind of comedy scene going, doesn't it?
Not really.
It does. It seems like everybody's doing, like, everybody's trying to get an open mic. Everybody's trying to do improv. I got fucking unfunny friends taking improv classes and comedy classes.
Yeah,
like, everybody's trying to do something here, and just there's nothing.
Well, you know, part of the deal is that a lot of the stuff is just, a lot of the stuff honestly isn't worth paying for.
Right.
I mean, you've done some of these. You've done the New Way Bar open mic,
right.
And you've done the O'Mara's. These shows aren't worth paying. You know, an audience, you can't. It's $2 is a ripoff for these shows.
Right.
It's not worth, you know. So it's hard to really get anything going. And everybody, you know. So if nobody's paying to get in, then everyone's working for free. And if the threshold is you're not paying anyone, then anyone can do it. And so it's sort of this cycle of, like, you know, the show is free, so we can't afford to pay good comedians. Therefore, we'll get people who work for free. If we get people who work for free, we don't need to pay them, so we don't need to charge anything at the door, which means the show's not good. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it becomes
a cycle of
right.
just shit, well, you know? God. And then when you do a show where, you know, people have to pay money, you know, you have the club owners, you know, like I have a show that I book, and the club owner is balking at paying the money for
right.
the real comedians.
Right. Well, it's not...
It was a one-nighter, but the guy used to do an open mic once a month. He said, the talent's not good enough. I want real talent. So I got him real talent.
Then he didn't want to pay the
Now
money.
He doesn't want to pay the real talent anymore. Right. You know, and it's just a cycle of shit.
Believe me, this could go... This is a bottomless debate.
It's a cycle.
Have.
It's a cycle of sort of shit.
This was
that,
happening
you know,
in, a, right. in a Facebook comedy group yesterday.
It was? I missed that comedy group because I'm in a couple of those comedy groups.
There was a.
I don't know why.
Nothing funny about those comedy groups, by the way.
No,
absolutely don't. Yeah,
there was
funny.
A big long thread.
Yeah,
and basically, I had to get in there and weigh in, and they were like, "Well, what's wrong with these? Like, you know, if you want to do an open mic, they were whatever. It was like, why isn't there a comedy club downriver?
Right.
I did not go down there and say because downriver is full of a bunch of. Fucking ninth grade dropout, unwashed yokels. You know,
wow.
I mean,
which is the real reason.
Right.
But
I mean, have you been to fucking Southgate?
Yeah, no, it's yeah.
That is, you know, the original home of the fucking Walmart shopper.
I agree
it's
with
really,
you, but you know,
they're blue collar troglodytes. Yeah. They're like, you know,
who's the hardest working comedian in Detroit?
In Detroit?
In our area.
Bill Bouchard works pretty hard.
Bill Bouchard works hard. Mike Green does a lot of shows. I don't know if he, you know, Mike Green does pretty good shows because he gets paid good money. I don't know who the hardest working guy is.
There's a lot of guys.
There's a lot of guys that hustle.
Humping
yeah.
every
guys,
night,
yeah.
and you look on their Facebook yeah. and they're humping
right.
Right.
all over town. I'm not as much, but, you know, whatever.
There's a guy named Michael Jeter who goes to like three open mics a night.
Every night.
And
but
I'm like,
you
I don't
and
know
I
how
used
he does
to do
it.
That.
Yeah. And we used to do that.
Joel and so, I used to Joel and I used right. to drive to Ann Arbor every Tuesday to go
yeah.
to Timmy
We
Beef
used to go
Hitler.
To the Comedy Castle.
But now you're big stars.
Now.
You don't need to do that. Stuff.
But you know, we don't get anything out of doing those
right.
shows.
Right, I know.
So
I get
it's not that we're big stars. It's that we're doing shows
don't
for
undercut
money.
Yourself, big star.
No,
it's just that we're doing shows for money.
No, but I'm saying don't undercut yourself. Don't say you're not a big star. You've got kids out there thinking that they're great stand-up comedians.
That I shit all over.
That, and then, well, I mean, whether or not they take a shit on you or Joel,
yeah.
like, they would, you know, cut off a nut to open for Gilbert Gottfried.
I'm sure they would.
Right. Well, I think I've earned...
Or stab their vagina if
they
were a female comedian.
I think I've earned a little bit of that. I mean, you know, look, I'm still opening for Gilbert. It's not like I'm...
it's not like him and Gilbert are out touring together.
It's
right.
not like
any
draw,
yeah.
but at least
right.
I get to work with...
Yeah, and it's...
I've gotten to the point where I get to work with a lot of top comedians, which some of these guys were never going to do. Some of these open mic guys are never going to, one, work in a real club environment, and two, get to work... Because, you know, it's just hard.
It's sort of a thing. You know, if people are paying money, it was $25 to see Gilbert.
Right.
If you're going to pay $25, you don't want to watch a guy that's, you know, playing for free right. in front of people. You want a guy like Corey or me or somebody that at least, you know,
right.
you go in and you're going to get a real show. You're going to get a guy who can perform and, won't, you know, isn't doing it for the first time.
Right.
You know, so that's the thing. But eventually when you do one, you know, then you go on and you start doing the next one and the next one. And so it moves like that. But, you know, you're saying, why don't me and Corey do it for free? Because there's no excitement there.
Right.
There's no benefit. You know, there's no financial benefit. As a performer, you know, I again, and we went through this months ago with
yes,
you
yes,
on
yes,
the show.
Yes, got
when
me in trouble.
When you're performing for nobody, I don't really know what the benefit is. For me, there's no benefit in that.
Right. Part of the problem for me is that And I used to love going to open mics every night.
Is that a Christmas card from Stan Lee and his family?
No, oh, Corey will show you exactly who that's from, though.
I'm sorry to interrupt you,
Corey's
Corey.
Corey's responsible for
it looked like Stan Lee.
No.
No,
if
it's
only.
Even better.
What? Oh, is this the cast Is this the cast of Black Nativity?
Yes, it is.
It is.
I was sent.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
I was sent this Christmas card.
Wow.
Yeah, Corey re-gifted the Christmas card to me, but it was still...
I got the Black Nativity.
Oh, I've got something to talk about.
Oh, okay. Good.
Don't, yeah, yeah, that's...
But anyway, we don't do open mics because it's a hassle.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's...
Here's part of the problem for me.
Yeah.
I never fucked open mic comedians, girls.
What?
Huh? I never.
What?
Where did this took a turn? Did I fall asleep while looking at the Black Nativity card?
No. Corey never.
I just. Well, maybe one or two.
Okay.
But what? I never dated girls who did comedy.
Okay.
So that takes a lot of the impulse, and now that you're married, takes a lot of impulse out of doing anything. Right?
Are there girls to date on the open mic comedy?
If there were, I'd be out doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Show's over, guys. See ya. Zoink.
More than three.
There's no girls to date on the comedy
I'm saying
scene.
If there were more than three fuckable girls
sure.
in open mics.
Sure.
And I wasn't married, I'd be at them every night.
Well.
But now it's a different
story. There's three girls. I fucked two of them. So I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You are the king. You're the king.
You're the Casanova.
A fucking open mic girls.
Did you hear this joke? Really... There's girls. Two comedians are in a comedy club, and they're talking to each other. And the first one says to the second one, he said, "Did you see the new girl that did comedy tonight?" And the second one goes, "No, I didn't. Was she any good looking?" And the first one says, "Well, Joel Fragamenti tried to fuck her." And the second one says, "Well, you didn't really answer my question." So, you know, that's
hey,
the
hell. No, it's kind of a miracle.
Did you just write that joke?
Yeah, well, it's an old. I repurposed.
To show you,
I repurposed an old joke.
To digress back to this card.
Yeah, the Black Nativity.
To show you how terrible my eyesight has become, I thought that Forrest Whitaker was Stan Lee. You know, I watched for the first time. I watched one of those Tyler Perry sitcoms.
Oh God,
Jesus Christ! You really need cable.
Can I just say? No one writes those, right?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, they're just improv'd.
I don't know.
Because
are they?
I watched an episode. Like, it's a half an hour right. show, right? So you take out commercials. That leaves you with how much time, Corey?
It's about 25 minutes.
Okay, so there's a 2-minute opening to the show, which introduces you to all the characters and like...
Oh, so it's like a pre-taped musical thing.
Yeah, right?
Opening
and then
credits.
And then there's like 2 minutes of closing credits.
Okay.
Maybe it's 23 minutes.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
probably 23
so we're down
minutes.
To like 19 minutes of
yeah,
show.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, the episode I watched was they were trying to raise money for their church.
Okay.
So the first part, the first segment of the sitcom was setting up that raising money for the church. Then the second part of the show... was like Roberta Flack shows up, and so does some Winans.
Yeah.
They both sing full songs,
and
that's the end of the episode.
That's the whole thing.
And I'm like, this is 4 pages of dialogue. This 30 minutes was 4 pages of dialogue.
Did Rogelio Mills show up?
I've been trying so hard, because his show hasn't been on recently.
No, it's been off.
Oh.
And I've been trying so hard
I've been feeling
to be in contact with Dr. Roger Mills about his book, I Died... and went to hell and saw the living dead.
I saw God, the
God,
devil,
the
and,
devil
the
and the living dead. I've been trying to get a hold of him, but I just can't.
In
but anyway,
1997, Dr. Mills died.
Well, I heard a thing where when Norm MacDonald was interviewed, back to your sitcom point,
yeah,
Norm MacDonald was interviewed on Mark Maron, and he said when you know they gave him a sitcom that they sat him, you know, they went to like their first read-through or whatever.
Right.
And Norm says they put the script in front of him, and everyone's reading it. And Norm, in his mind, is thinking, well, this isn't funny at all.
Mm. Right.
And he's thinking, this isn't funny, isn't funny. And he goes up to, like, the showrunner guy, and he goes, hey, man, this how come this isn't funny? He goes, oh, no, they're going to laugh at this. And he's like, how do you know? And he says, it's just the way it's written. They're going to laugh at it. And he said, "It's just there's just a formula for writing a sitcom.
It's crazy because
and it's not it doesn't
right.
read funny.
I honestly,
funny.
Well, when I was watching,
obviously that showrunner was full of shit because Norm's show got canceled.
Well, but Norm kind of knew the show wasn't funny. Is what
I don't
the point
mean
was,
this
you know,
to I don't mean this to sound in any way like it's going to sound, but I mean it exactly like how it sounds.
Yeah.
But when I watched this Tyler Perry show, which I assume is aimed at adults,
okay, yeah,
it had the exact same writing style." Mm-hmm. As like California Dreams,
like so Disney Channel quality, yeah. Right.
Like at one point, a character had to take someone outside to teach them about camping, which they did in the backyard.
Yeah, right.
And then he pulls the satellite dish off the house,
yeah,
like just pulls it off the house, puts it on top of the tent,
yeah,
and then they go in the tent and watch satellite television.
Oh, that's terrific.
Well, since you don't have cable...
And the audience in hysterics.
Hysterics. That's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Since you don't have cable, I'm sure you're... And you're up all night.
Right.
I'm sure you're familiar with Mr. Box Office.
Yes.
Okay, this is another $1.05. It's like a $2 show.
Okay.
This stars Bill Bellamy.
Yeah.
As a movie star.
As a movie star
who gets sentenced to teach high school.
Yeah, he has to do community service.
Well, that's such a hack premise. I mean, I can't.
And on the show, here's the principal is played by John. Or no, his agent is John Lovitz.
Yes.
Oh, God.
The principal is Tim Meadows.
Eesh.
And then there's, like, I think Cockroach from the Cosby Show.
I think
show.
So, yeah.
There's, like, a
they
lot.
Are, that yeah. show's killing it.
I
mean, and when I, mean, I, when I say it's killing it, I mean it's killing comedy.
Yeah.
It's killing
I read, you know.
It's literally stabbing comedy in the face
and you know what?
With a knife.
Mr. Box Office is a masterpiece compared to the show it's paired with.
First that? Family?
The First Family, which has an incredible science fiction premise.
Okay.
The Black First Family.
Oh, it's about a black president.
Well, how did
I mean, it's an incredible science fiction.
It never happened.
With, who would have thought it?
With... I think then I think the Secretary of State is John Lovitz.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Secretary of the Interior
is
Tim Meadows.
Oh, is it really?
Bill Bellamy is the son of the president.
Yeah. I think the Secretary of Agriculture is Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievably bad.
When I was I got a call one day. I was sitting around and I this was right when I was really looking for acting gigs, which I kind of
right
for some reason they're not calling me for
that
acting
like
gigs
4 hours at last April.
Well, just, I
no,
was
there were also a lot more productions.
There was
in
a
town.
Lot of productions in Michigan for a while
right,
when
the
they had the
credits,
incentives
yeah.
and when they got a new governor, a lot of it went away. So they were shooting. I got a call out of the blue. Do I want to come down and read for a television show? So I said fine, and I said send me the script, and they gave me the email, and they sent me the script, and I go down not really knowing what this is, but reading it
right.
And it was a show about a bunch of high school kids called The Wannabes. The show is aired now on Starz Kids is where it ultimately ended up airing.
All right.
But it was written by one of the producers of one of the Disney Channel shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down, and I was the sleazy, I read for sleazy manager.
Sleazy manager.
I was going to manage the kids. You know, the kids had a singing group, which
right.
all high school kids are, you know, yeah. also in singing groups. And I was going to manage the kids. I was very impressed with their talent.
Oh, right.
And I went down, and I'm telling you, I was this fucking close to getting that role.
To getting sleazy manager.
To getting sleazy
then
manager.
Then what happened?
They picked a different guy. And I found out the guy they picked, because I was dating a girl who did a lot of acting at the time, was a guy who I then went to a premiere for a movie he starred in the following week.
Oh.
It was an independent horror
Look
movie.
Look at that.
But I came this close.
To being sleazy manager.
And you know what I did? I went in and I did the whole thing as Jack Klugman. I went in and I read all the lines
as Jack Klugman.
As Jack Klugman.
What does that even mean?
Kids, let me tell you about show business. It was Jack Klugman.
So you did a voice.
I did a character, yes.
You,
I was acting.
Jewel Fragmenti.
It was acting.
You weren't sleazy enough.
Right, enough of your dumb, come on.
I had the pleasure of working with Tony Randall.
You weren't sleazy enough.
I went in and did
You weren't
Jack
sleazy
Klugman.
Enough.
No, the guy that got the role did
Do you know who you are?
The guy that did got the role did not do Jack Klugman, by the way.
No!
He was doing Jewel Fragmenti.
No, he wasn't doing Jewel Fragmenti. The guy didn't even look sleazy enough.
And you did.
I didn't see the episode.
Did you dress up for it?
Now, when does
I wore
this,
like a suit coat.
When does this show debut? And
the show's been on for a while,
oh, really?
But I
and
never
you,
saw
they're
it.
In like their ninth
I
season.
I wish I had my sides because I read it to you.
Did you send Dan DeCappa a thank you note for his congratulations for getting that show?
No, I went in and I did it as Jack Klugman and they loved it. I cracked up. I sat and there was a big table of people. You go in this audition room, there's like 12 fucking idiots there.
Right.
Okay, none of them are funny. So I go in there, I pretend I'm Jack, you know, but to them, a guy doing Jack Klugman, like, that's original.
Right.
Like, on a kid's TV show.
For
like,
sure.
Who would do Jack Klugman? So I go in, I do Jack Klugman, and they're in stitches. I tell you, stitches.
You know, Newberg just told a story.
And I would have been on one of those awful children's sick. I was this fucking close.
I wish you would have got it.
I know.
I'm going to make some calls.
Good.
Newberg just posted a story on Facebook where he went in for a commercial audition.
Yeah.
And there had to be singing in the audition for whatever. I can't remember what the product was. But he went in with his guitar and he tweeted while he was waiting with all these other guys who were singing and doing shtick.
Uh-huh.
It's like the only thing worse than auditioning for a part, he made some tweet about, like, you know. The only thing worse than being in a commercial for this product is waiting to audition for this product.
Yeah, right.
And he got in there.
And they saw his tweet?
And they saw his tweet.
and
he went up and he did his audition.
Yeah.
And then they said, hold on, we have another line of dialogue we want to add.
Yeah.
And they handed him his tweet.
His tweet?
And said, could you read this?
That's a dick move.
And he was like, all right, fuck y'all. See, and walked peace. And
wow.
They totally busted him for his tweet. So
well,
you never, casting directors are, he said the room was real cold, but that's how casting directors always are.
I've done so many of those.
Yeah.
But
then they handed him his tweet and said, read this.
I read to be the
asshole.
You know, the two Hungry Howies guys who argue with each other in the office? I read for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could have been one of the pizza guys.
I could have been one of the pizza guys.
I got to tell
you. But the problem with the, here's what they did with the Hungry Howies.
I've done some auditions and they suck.
Here's one of the time did. Originally, the Hungry Howies guys was like, you know, the classic smart, skinny guy, dumb, fat guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I went in, and I was dumb, fat guy.
Right.
And I go in, and because there's two roles, and you can tell one's the dumb, fat guy, one's the skinny guy. So I go in, and I memorized all the dumb, fat guy roles.
Right.
And I've got all the dumb, fat guy lines memorized.
And they gave you tall,
and
skinny.
They made me do it twice. They made me do it once as dumb, fat guy, once as tall, skinny guy. I didn't have anything for tall, skinny guy. Then I see the commercials that they ultimately make out of the same scripts they gave me.
Right.
They cast two skinny guys.
Well,
there you go.
What's a fat guy supposed to do?
What's a fat guy supposed to do?
And by the way, those commercials are not as good anymore.
They're not as good
because
when they had,
you know,
the fat, dumb guy. Yeah.
Anyone listening in the sound of my voice, everybody at the Ford plant that's listening on the third shift.
Yes.
And all the big, important Hollywood mockers that listen to our show. All
there
the big.
There's many out there.
Many.
Stop making attractive people into funny people. They're not funny.
Well, yeah, exactly.
When did you?
Those Hungry Howies guys are not. They're not funny.
He's not on my
list.
They're attractive. He's not on my list, but I will tell you.
Yeah.
I should have put Dane Cook onto my list when we do Assholes of the Year.
Assholes of the Year potential?
Because for eternity. He should go in the Hall of Fame.
We may have to do an Assholes
because
Hall of Fame.
Because he put in the minds of people that you had to be attractive and
no,
do comedy.
I agree with you.
When the fuck?
Yeah.
Look at Alan King.
Yeah.
Don Rickles.
Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
The ugliest mugs in the fucking world are the greatest comics of all time.
Yeah.
But that's a relatively new, all entertainment. That's a relatively new
You got
to
be attractive to do comedy.
Like, attractiveness now is entertainment, right?
Yeah.
You have to be good looking to be in entertainment.
Pretty much.
There was a time in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Most of our lifetime.
Most of our lifetime where if you had talent, you could be famous.
Yeah.
But now you can't be famous unless you're attractive.
Willard fucking Scott was on TV.
Yeah.
Fat as could be.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, no, even people who were unattractive for most of their career are now attractive people. Like, they've gone and got a ton of fucking work done. They've lost a ton of fucking weight.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And you've got to be 12.
Well, that's that is how television works, and I've been a victim of it.
There used to be a time when an attractive woman, when you were a 16-year-old boy, an attractive woman was like a 30-year-old fucking whore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right?
Right, yes.
Well, now an attractive woman is a 14-year-old whore.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yes.
But when I was growing up watching fucking Bon Jovi videos, older fucking women that knew what they were doing, that's what I wanted as a teenage boy.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Now there's no teenage boy that looks at Cate Blanchett and is like, she is fucking smoking hot.
Kim Cattrall and Mannequin.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a hot piece of ass.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Now you got to be 12.
The juvenilization, the youthification, the attractiveness, it's killing all of us.
Hmm.
And we're all three of us. John was once handsome.
I knew Corey would bring it up. He can't,
he won't let it die.
Do one episode where he doesn't mention my former attractiveness.
I'm so happy now that your age
still
is finally
pulling ass like Corey never had in his life.
Oh, no.
Ever. The bitterness
All right, let's change gears here because we're taking up comedy.
I'm going to give you a, even though you're a handsome son of a bitch, I'm going to
give a present for Jen.
Oh,
look at that, a toffee fave for Jenny.
I will have that.
There you go.
I look okay. I'm waiting for my toffee fave.
No, no, sir.
I'm just going to kill some time till I get
another
toffee fave.
Already tearing into it. Already tearing.
All right, well, let me play this because you know what we talked about. I say Gilbert Gottfried is the funniest comedian I've ever seen live in person. You know, and Corey's, you know, loves him and whatever.
He's definitely top five.
But now what we're about to hear is what I consider to be
the worst,
the greatest performer ever.
Oh.
Doing stand-up comedy.
Really?
Now, it may not be what you think.
Okay.
But we're going to listen to this, and you tell me what you think. We'll talk through this, and we'll let the guy do his thing.
Right.
It's one of my favorite things, of course, is, and I've said this on the show over the years, and had very few examples of this, but people who aren't comedians doing comedy.
Like me.
Is one of my favorite things to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's on television. And like I said, this guy is the greatest performer of all time. He's doing stand-up comedy.
All right.
But let me just, in fact, I'll let you hear his introduction right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll turn it over to Mr. Jon Stewart for the introduction. Let's listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bruce Springsteen!
So, yes.
Uh-oh.
So what you're about to hear is from an event called Stand Up for Heroes. And it's an online telethon for wounded veterans.
Okay.
People wounded in war.
Right.
It's produced by the Bob Woodruff Foundation.
Okay.
It's called Stand Up for Heroes. Jon Stewart was the host. Jerry Seinfeld appeared. A bunch of music people, too. Roger Waters and these guys all went up and performed. And Bruce is the headliner.
Okay.
So Bruce comes out.
An
I don't
entire
know
who... show cast by people that no one under 18 knows.
But listen what Bruce says, though, because it's interesting. So he comes out. This is the opening, just as it happened. Bruce walks out with his guitar, and he says this. So listen to this. And they're at the theater at Madison Square Garden. So small building.
I'm puzzled. This is the first time. I think this is a night of comedy for a soldier's audience where the entire night went by without anybody telling any dirty jokes. I don't get it. Is that, I can't let that happen. Older man.
So imagine you go, you're at this concert, you want to see Bruce.
I'm already mad.
Okay, but you want to see Bruce. He right. comes out with his guitar. You've sat through Roger Waters.
He already
and
sounds
Seinfeld,
a little drunk.
All these guys. And out comes Bruce, and Bruce starts telling jokes. So are you in for these? Are you in for some Bruce jokes?
I guess.
Fire
all right,
up.
No, I mean, come on.
Let's
go. Give him a minute.
Fire
give
up.
Him,
go.
Give
I'll
him.
Let him
but
go.
I've said, Bruce, this guy is the great. You think that if somebody has a natural
gift.
Talent as a performer.
Drawing people
he
in.
Could maybe tell a good joke.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, let's listen to Bruce tell us jokes.
He's having a hard time getting an erection.
So the man goes in, the doctor's right. having a hard time.
He goes to the doctor, and he tells him the story. I can't sustain an erection. I go, what would the Viagra say? I said, no. I've tried it all, like jelly beans, nothing. Doctor says, I don't know, you may be beyond medical help, man. But there's a gypsy around the corner. Go around to her, tell her what your soda is. Guy goes around the corner to the gypsy. Gypsy listens. Okay, in this vial, when the time comes, you sprinkle it a little bit, right where it counts, and just say 1, 2, 3.
I'm giving Bruce
Washington,
the life.
Washington, Miami.
Give him
Louisville rubber. Slugger time. All right? Guy's all excited now. Says, but it's only going to work once, she tells him. Guy says, great. But how do I get it to go back down? So that's easy. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's going to go down. That's it. Guy runs home. He's really excited. He gets his wife. Come on, honey. Upstairs. Get in bed. Come on. Quick. She gets upstairs. She gets all dressed. He gets home. He hops in. He's ready. Gets his clothes off. And he says, ready? She says, yep. Takes it out. Sprinkles a little bit on. 1, 2, 3. And his wife goes, I don't get it. What's the 1, 2, 3, 4?
There you go. And then he goes into Dancing in the Dark. Okay, so that's the first Bruce joke. How are we doing? Tenny?
Terrible.
I thought it was okay.
It's terrible.
It's acceptable.
It's not acceptable.
Why? Because he's Bruce and you want to hear him sing and he comes out.
No, because
out
his pacing's off.
All right, but he's not
he's telling stories like, okay. First of all, he sounds drunk.
He might be.
He does. He sounds
he
drunk.
Might
sound drunk.
He
sounds
might
be
lit.
He sounds drunk.
Lit.
He sounds old. He sounds unhappy. Even with his telling of the story, it has no flow. It has
okay.
no meter.
All right. He's warming up. That's his opener. So he comes out.
He's
tells
got no
the
timing.
First joke.
He's
he tells
up.
The first joke.
He's got no timing.
He plays Dancing in the Dark on the acoustic guitar.
Right.
That ends.
Sounds terrible, probably.
Okay. Then he comes on, And you're expecting maybe another song, whatever.
Right. He's going to tell another joke.
Instead, you get this. Here you go.
So a guy goes into a whorehouse in Nevada. And he says to the madam, he says, I've had a lot of girls. I've had a lot of girls.
Drunk.
And
so drunk.
I'm going to need something very special to get me off. And she says, well, let me think. Did you ever have a Hurricane Tessie? And he says, Hurricane Tessie? No, I don't think so. Well, go up in room number 2, get into bed, take your clothes off, turn the lights down low, and wait for 5 minutes. All right, goes up, gets in, turns the lights down. Suddenly, bang, the door flies open, and there's this huge Amazonian woman in the doorway. And she runs and she jumps on the bed and starts like farting all over the bed. And she says, these are the gale force winds of Hurricane Tessie blowing all over you. And he goes, whoa. And then next thing she does is she leaps down on top of him and she has these huge pendulous breasts. And she starts boxing them up inside each ear. Boom, boom, boom. And she says, these are the coconuts that have been blown down from the trees by the gale force winds of Hurricane Tessie. Boom, boom. And then she flips him over and starts smacking him on his ass really hard. And she says, this is the thunderclap from the Hurricane Tessie. And then she flips him over again and starts peeing on him from head to toe, up and down, all over the bed. And at this point, he gets up and runs out. And the madam says, hey, where are you going? He says, I can't stand the weather.
There it is. There's Bruce joke too.
Don't tell me there's a Bruce joke.
I didn't say they were good dirty jokes. I just said they were jokes.
Alright, so Bruce does that, and then he brings out his wife. They do some song. They do a duet, right. And it's very nice. And you know, that wraps
this is
up.
Like, I don't have any uncles that I talk to.
Sure.
It's like an uncle that I
uncle
hate
at the party.
Uncle that I hate.
Okay.
Telling me a funny joke at a party
that he didn't write. Yeah. Okay. Well, then, so he goes out. He plays a song.
Oh
with
God!
His
there's
wife,
another one.
There's another
and he
one.
Comes off and he does. Now I'm gonna say, this is far and away the best joke.
So you're saying he's been building up.
He's been building up to this.
This is the crescendo.
But see, I watched the whole thing. It was like 25 minutes.
Oh, my God.
You see the songs, and the songs are great.
It's like when Voltron comes out and shoots a lot of missiles for 10 minutes and then pulls out the big sword.
He's from Jersey. He can tell a joke. He's been around those kind of guys.
He is telling jokes so terribly.
You think these are bad?
Terrible. He's telling them terribly.
The second one was better, no?
He's telling them terribly.
The punchline to Hurricane
Tessie. Let's wait for the third one. And
there
judge.
Is no doubt that he is fucking smoked. He is out.
Well, he's hanging out
he's
all night.
Slurred fucking words.
Well,
I think Bruce might have had a stroke listening
yeah,
to this.
Let's listen to Bruce.
Has he smelt burnt toast lately?
Piano player. Piano player out of work. Needs a job. Goes down to see the agent. Agent says, well, let me hear what you got.
The Asian?
The Asian is what I heard.
Playing the piano.
Agent.
It's gorgeous.
The agent.
It's beautiful. He stops. The agent says, oh, my God, that's
the Asian.
That's one of the most beautiful pieces of music I've ever heard. What's the name of that? And it's something I wrote. It's called Take the Stick Out of Your Ass, because whether you know it or not, you're in shit up to your neck. And the agent says, really? Wow. Okay, play me another one. Plays him another one. Beautiful. I mean, the agent has tears running down his cheeks. He goes, oh, my God, that's one of the most beautiful pieces of music I've ever heard. Like, what's the name of that? So that's called Sonata for a Pussy Bandit. And agent says, really? He says, I tell you what, I have a job for you. It's a wedding this Sunday. Play the music, but don't mention any of the song titles, all right? I said, sure, no problem, no problem. The guy goes to the wedding, he's playing, they're loving him, he's fabulous, you know. During the night, then finally the bride's mother comes up and says, the bride and groom would like to do their dance. They have a very special request. It's a song that my husband and I danced to at our wedding. It means a great deal to my family. And he says, that's fine, excuse me, ma'am, I just have to run to the restroom. So he runs to the restroom and he takes a leak, but he forgets to zipper up his pants. And he comes out, and the the mother of the bride runs up to him and says, "Sir, do you know your fly is open and your dick is hanging out?" And he says, "Know it. I wrote it."
There you go. The big finish. All right. All right. A little muted reception from this crowd. But,
next up is MC Sampler.
All right. Put your hands together for Jeremiah Pauly.
I went into the wrong profession. I should have done stand-up. That's...
All right. So there's Bruce Springsteen's
great
stand-up comedy.
Who
people
the,
paid people paid thousands of dollars to be in that
now,
intimate audience.
Do you remember the all-time worst comic at Club Bart?
Well, you know he's bad because he's a guitar act. But anyway, but I'm bum. Okay.
Wop, wop, wop.
What a, hey, that was funnier than Bruce's routine.
What? Shit.
Do you remember your all-time favorite, the guy that put chocolate pudding on his face?
Yeah, a guy named Paul Weston.
Paul Weston.
Yeah, he put chocolate pudding on his face and did The Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr. He did this at O'Mara's.
Wow.
And this
he
was
did
back
this
in like
Bart's.
2001. No, he did it at O'Mara's first. It's the first time
oh,
I've
really?
Seen. Yeah.
Well, oh, O'Mara's had a bad comedy show
yeah,
back
then. Yeah,
had a
bad then. Comedy show before the
and
current bad comedy
what was great
show.
Was that they didn't have lighting, they had a spotlight.
It was a spotlight. There was a giant, like, theatrical spotlight.
Yeah, they had a giant
that
spotlight.
Would shine from, the from like, oh, it was so bad.
How many
like,
people were at that show with Bruce?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably 1,000, maybe 2,000.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What a ripoff.
Well, he did 3 songs and 3 jokes.
The problem is John and I are not enamored with Bruce Springsteen, the entertainer.
But he did. I mean, you know, it is risky when you're good at, like, playing the guitar and singing to go up and tell jokes.
I'm sorry. If rock and roll musicians not told jokes since the dawn of time and they're, like...
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to fill up the time in between songs by being lighthearted and getting the crowd on your side.
He shouldn't have told those long jokes.
He should have...
Whatever.
No, he should have hit with those, like, old school...
Yeah.
Here we go, there you go, here we go, there you go.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. What?
I'm just saying. You get into those long-winded jokes, you end up sounding like
a guy walks into a psychiatrist says, "Doctor, you got to help me. I'm a wigwam, a teepee. I'm a wigwam, a teepee."
Doctor says, "You're too tense."
Thank you. See, see, there you go. There's a quick joke.
Wow.
Like that.
Yeah.
On and on. Corey and I will be performing.
Yeah, where is this show going?
Corey tells the joke and I tell the punchline?
No, look, I'm not saying I like Bruce, but I think it's interesting that a guy goes out and... He's got a catalog of, you know, all these classic songs, and he's telling jokes.
For sure.
Because he thought it was appropriate for the venue.
Because no one's going to get mad at Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought it was a cute novelty.
So it was a night of comedy.
It was a night of comedy and music.
Who were the other comedians?
Like I said, Seinfeld and Jon Stewart.
No.
And probably some other people. So, I didn't watch the whole thing. I only watched the Bruce part.
You know what? That makes...
I saw a little bit of Roger
that
Waters.
That fucking blows my mind.
And?
Because no comic ever walks out on a stage and goes... You know, Jon Stewart didn't go out there and go, "I'm going to sing Glory Days," and check this out.
Right.
Yeah.
But fucking everybody thinks they're a comic.
Yeah.
Well,
these people always want to tell jokes.
Absolutely.
When they see, there are
I
people,
agree with you. I completely
and
agree
you see
with
this
you.
Effect in the audience all the time. You'll see the one drunk fucking joker who thinks he's a comic in the audience.
Right.
And he gets intimidated and frightened when we go on and tell jokes.
Sure.
Because he's like, "I must have this attention and I must tell these jokes." And then just gets in your act. That's what I feel about that. Fuck Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, come on.
Fuck him in his ear.
But it's a novelty to see a guy go out.
Right.
And who could
as long
be
as he's not
going to
put out a comedy album next year.
Well, he's the headliner. He can do whatever he wants. He just had Roger Waters up there doing Wish You Were Here and all this stuff.
And then Seinfeld came out and sang Mary Queen of Arkansas.
Well,
and,
listen, one of my point is that he goes out, but Mary Queen of Arkansas.
What's
from Arkansas?
You know, what is...
Who's the queen of...
Did you guys on the podcast at all? I sound really low in my mic. Can you hear me at all? I can't hear you. That's better.
That's better, John.
That's better. Did you guys talk about... Because I haven't listened to the podcast in months.
Yes.
As all true
since
fans.
Since
thank you very
time.
Much, yes.
As all true fans. Did you guys talk at all about Sound of Music?
No, we did that. Has only happened recently.
Yeah. I didn't
like
see.
To
it.
Talk about it.
I didn't see it. I heard it was
are
terrible.
Are we done with our Bruce Springsteen discussion?
I was done with Bruce on this first, the middle of the first joke was out.
Well, I mean, look, he's no Gilbert. But here's the deal.
What is
if
your
Gilbert,
point with this?
If Gilbert tells those same jokes,
yes.
Are they funny?
You know what? If Gilbert tells those jokes, they are funny, but I have the exact, what Corey was saying, I'll have the exact same effect when Gilbert pulls out a guitar.
No, I understand
and
that.
Tries to do, you know, who are you?
Yeah, I understand.
Right?
I'm with you. Okay.
who are you? Who are you?
Yes. I was going to do Gilbert doing Seinfeld. Who are you?
He did do a Seinfeld.
He does do Seinfeld.
My favorite thing that Gilbert did was he did...
All Jews sound the same, right? Is Gilbert a Jew?
Yes.
Well, what am I talking about? He's a comedian.
He's the Jewiest.
You two are the misnomer.
That's why we're not successful.
Have either of you ever thought about converting?
Mine and Joel. Well, I'm halfway there.
Have you ever thought about just putting on a yarmulke and going to temple and trying to mix in for one day, maybe get a payout that way?
I'm a day walker. I pass.
Right.
Okay, they think I'm a Jew. I tend not to disabuse people unless
most people think I'm a Jew when they meet, if they don't hear my last name.
But I mean, I feel like you got to go to temple a couple times and let people see you, and then that's when things start rolling in.
Well, we'll see. It could happen. I don't put anything past myself.
At this point.
No. All right, so what are we talking about? Sound of Music with Carrie.
I didn't see it. I just heard it was terrible.
Apparently, gigantic hit is what they're saying.
Really?
Gigantic ratings.
I didn't see it either, but this is my tweet.
Yeah.
And I actually think I did it on stage, too. Okay. I said, leave it to Carrie Underwood to take a musical about Austrians and make it whiter.
Okay.
She really did.
I can see that.
The whitest thing in the world.
Maybe we should watch that and do a special episode of Jewelry.
You want to do a special like riff track?
Yeah, we'll do a riff track.
Sound of music thing, and people can get it.
Oh, God.
I guess we could do that. You know, I don't know. See, to me, that right away just looks terrible. I mean, there was. I wish I could have taped the whole thing, but there was.
I tell you my conspiracy theory?
There was a Kelly Clarkson. A very special Kelly Clarkson Christmas special.
Can I tell you my conspiracy theory about the Sound of Music
movie? Yeah, go ahead.
Is it been announced yet that Julie Andrews is dying?
She's still alive.
She lost her voice because
I saw her interviewed. I think
with
about
this Sound of Music thing, and the Saving Mr. Banks thing,
Doing a tribute to Julie Andrews.
They're getting ready to do something. She's on the way out.
I think she was at the premiere of the Mr. Banks. And they interviewed her about Sound of Music and stuff. So
I think
she looked okay. I don't know.
The problem for Julie Andrews is she had some note on her vocal cords and couldn't sing anymore.
Mm.
So that's kind of
one foot in the grave for her, right?
Right. Well, I'm just saying. It seems like this type of thing happens.
Right.
Well, okay. Gene Hackman.
That's
been
something
gone
I
for
need
a long time.
That's Gene Hackman.
He's,
what?
He's been retired for a while. When are we going to see the Gene Hackman retreat? You know.
I just wanted to ask about the Sound of Music. See if anybody had seen it.
No.
Okay. And then I wanted to say, it doesn't outrage me because I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah.
But have you seen, there's four commercials that are running on television now that have Lou Reed and Velvet Underground songs.
There are, yes.
Like as soon as he was out.
Well, some of those have been airing a little before he died. But yeah, I would guess he doesn't control the publishing on those.
Well, not anymore.
Well, I mean, even when he was alive,
I'm
guessing.
He doesn't control his body.
He sold them or something, and so he probably.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation, believe it or not, with a record store clerk about this recently.
Yeah.
There used to be a time when you were outraged to hear
music.
Oh, I still am.
You still are, but I mean, that's something that's like a Gen X thing.
Yeah.
You're right. That's,
millennials don't even know what that means.
That's not even a thing.
That's because they don't know the songs.
When they did Revolution as a Nike commercial, it was a firestorm.
But I mean, 87, my nephew, who's 13, who's like making up all of the, he's watching YouTube. He's on his tablet. Like he's 13 and 14 year old, his friends. He doesn't know a Lou Reed song.
Well, the point
is, he just thinks it's a song they wrote for a commercial. He doesn't know that it has anything to do with anybody.
But honestly, to them, it's like that's where you hear a song. You know, the commercial is where when we were kids, we would hear songs on the radio or we'd see them on MTV or something. And those things really kind of don't exist anymore. So if you want to hear a song, you either watch the YouTube or you see it in a commercial.
I DJ'd my nephew's 8th grade dance.
Yes. And I'm sure it was full of Velvet Underground.
No. But this is what I found most interesting.
Here's the Pogues, kid.
Here's what I found most interesting. When I had
some Johnny Cash.
Either 7th or 8th grade dances or even dances in high school, I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The DJ could care less what we were listening to at the time. He played what was popular.
Sure.
And he played shit that I had never heard before. Okay. But I had heard it because of my parents. I mean, it was the early 80s, so we would get a Journey song, and we would get like a ELO song or Boston or shit like that, right?
Yeah.
I DJ'd this dance, and at the very end,
played ELO.
My sister came in, and she said, you know, all the parents are out in the hallway for like one of the last songs, just play Let's Go Crazy by Prince.
Yes.
And I said, oh, I can do that. Like, you know, whatever. So I played Let's Go Crazy by Prince. Every kid walked out of the fucking auditorium.
Just nothing. They
yeah,
were not...
nothing. Not one kid except my nephew, who left because his friends left, knew what that was. They just left. The parents came in, and the kids walked out.
The parents
played a Skrillex song. This is no joke. I played a Skrillex song 6 times in an hour.
And they liked that.
They loved it. They couldn't get enough of the same song over and over and over and over again.
How much of Tommy James and the Shondells did you listen to when you were a kid?
Lots.
I mean, okay, yeah. That's a... I remember...
Don't ask John that question.
Well, this is what sucks. This is kind of what sucks.
Oh, my God. It's such...
And they run out of the room.
Didn't we sing this song once before on the show?
We sang the beautiful ones.
Did we sing
Janet,
the beautiful ones?
Yes.
All right.
And
that's
that
what
was...
I thought. Life in the world for a mighty long time, but I'm here to tell you, he's preaching.
You got at least got to let this. You at least got to let this go to the Willie Kick Sing Court.
A world of never ending.
You can always see the sun. Day.
Oh, night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right.
And if this was our high school, if this was our middle school dance,
this would have been, people would have gone
biggest
nuts.
Hit. Yeah, this
going
been,
fucking nuts.
This and like, you know, something off Thriller.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been a big deal, yeah.
I mean, just this opening riff. This
right here.
And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch a high.
All right. And the dance floor is completely vacant at this point.
Oh, yeah. There's no one on the floor.
But do the parents come in?
The parents are out of their minds.
Did you hear this at, like, every wedding?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you hear Raspberry Beret.
Yeah, you hear some,
But, I mean...
Or Little Red Corvette.
First of all, I don't care who you are. Purple Rain is a great fucking album.
Yeah, it's a good album.
From,
so,
like,
I mean, you can't...
from first to end, it's a great fucking album. Yeah. And the parents came out, and the parents went bonkers. The kids left until they could come back, and I would play Applause by Lady Gaga again.
This is how you and I are different, because I would have played Pussy Control.
Right.
But that's just me.
Well, to give you an idea about the Skrillex thing and Lady Gaga and stuff, my brother-in-law sat with my nephew and set up the playlist for what I was going to be playing for the 8th grade dance.
Mm-hmm.
So the 8th grade dance was 2.5 hours long.
Okay.
And I open up iTunes, and we set up all the speakers and stuff, and I look, and my brother-in-law has 68 minutes of music.
Okay.
And I'm like, how long is this dance? And he goes, it's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours long. And I go, we got 68 minutes of music. And he's like, they're going to listen to a lot of the songs over and over again.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, they're not. And yes, they were.
They had no problem with that either.
There were a couple songs that I played 2 times in a row.
Well, you know.
Like on accident or just because?
No, on purpose.
Because it was such a big hit.
It was such a huge hit. They were going so crazy.
What was the biggest hit that the kids liked? What was the one that, if you had to say.
Carly Rae Jepsen. If you say, what did the fox say, I'm going to
I played that 3 times.
Jesus Christ.
What's the big
I'm trying
song?
To think. There's one that's called...
did you even get, like, you know, fucking
it was
Arcade Fire in there?
No Arcade Fire. There's a Reflector. Song called... God, I'm not even going to remember this.
Okay.
Something like We Are Stars?
Yes.
We Are Young by...
No. Like We Are Stars?
We Are Stars.
We Are Stars.
Or something like that.
Did that.
You play...
not the hearing aid We're Stars by Ronnie James Dio?
No, did you play Imagine Dragons?
I did play Imagine Dragons.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah.
That was actually a song I played,
you know,
3 or 4
though?
Times.
You know what's weird though about
Joel? What do you got for We Are Stars?
I'm looking. Give
what's
me one more
what's the name of the
We Are Stars by the Pierces?
I don't think so.
That, I don't know if that's there. Yet.
I don't think so.
Let's
do you
hear
have
what that is?
Do you have Imagine Dragons on there? Because that'll give you.
I don't think the Pierces.
No. Imagine Dragons is one.
Listen to this.
No, that's not it at all. Nope, not at all.
Sure?
Imagine Dragons.
All right,
that sounded like Crimson and Clover.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
Crimson and Clover.
Or if you did... Actually, you know what? Stop looking for Imagine Dragons.
I just got Imagine Dragons.
Type Skrillex.
All right.
And then just read me the couple of names. I'll tell you which one it was.
Okay, let me see. I have to actually...
Because I'll remember it, because I played it 6 times.
Mm-hmm. Skrillex, okay. All right, Skrillex's big song, according to Google Play Music, is something called Bangarang, Scary Monsters...
Scary Monsters.
Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites.
Scary Monsters
is... So this is it.
Six,
so if you're in
six.
The... This is the middle school dance in 2013. This is what kids...
Here you go. This is what kids are listening to.
All right. I'm kind of in there. Corey, sit down.
Stop dancing, Corey. Listen.
Corey, put a shirt back on. This is ridiculous.
This is what kids are listening to. This. Hate Prince. Love this.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Oh, let it go, because you're not even to the break.
Not even to the...
You're not to the break yet. The break. Break.
This is like every act on America's Got Talent performs.
Yes, yeah, they really do.
This is exactly what
this is where some homeless kid dislocates his shoulder.
It's a lot of bad white guy dancing
doing
in the
robot
right now. Yeah.
I wish this was a video cast. You could see John roboting.
Oh.
When I was DJing the dance and I was listening to this song, my brother-in-law was sitting next to me. Can you hear me over that?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
When I was DJing the dance, my brother-in-law was sitting next to me, and right before it goes into those breaks, I would look at him and I would go, "Robot attack." Because
exactly.
It sounds like the Transformers fighting
the
each other.
The fucking Cylons are coming.
This was my middle school dance.
Let this play for a while. This was
the middle school dance for me. I used to take this girl. Oh, I used to dance with the same girl to this. The 7th grade dance. There you go, John. A little Spandau Ballet. Going out to all the 7th graders in 1984. You're now 42. You've got 2 divorces and 3 kids that are 2 different colors. But you can remember back in the day.
Fucking Spandau Ballet.
When Joel Fregamenti would hold your hip.
I'm going to tell you right now. I hated this then.
Did you really? Oh, this is a great song.
So true. Funny how it seems.
I hated this at the time.
Always in time, but never in line.
See, I remember this at the dance. This was the big ballad.
Oh, you know what I want? I need some... Joel, can you give me some bangles?
Come on, Corey.
Jesus.
But now I've come back again. Why do I find it hard?
It's a great song.
The next line. Oh, I want the
Uh-oh, Corey's sending me notes. He's sending notes. How come I don't have access?
Ooh, this.
Whoa,
oh, that up.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear.
There's my middle school dance jam.
I'll give you mine too then.
Then this would be the fast song. Oh, I think this is a live version.
Oh, yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I gotta. This would be the hard song.
Great.
This is the guys would get
yeah,
out
this is
and
great.
Dance to this.
This is still a great fucking song.
I'm out of love. I'm love. Got a photograph. Picture of. Positive. Can't do much. You're the only one I want to touch. I see your face every time I dream. Yeah.
Wow. I think this is like a sound-alike or
wow,
something.
Wow, that's so
yeah,
good.
Bad,
no.
You still like it. Oh, yes. I think that's the original.
You pulled that one up for me there, you know?
What do you got then? All right, hold on. Right.
What did you want to
do? Oh, my God. Look, what a fucking song this is.
You know what song? This was earlier than me, but the J. Guile band.
Oh yeah,
Angel in a Centerfold.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I can't get what you wrote down for.
Oh, that one's impossible to get on YouTube.
Can you get the bangles?
Well, I'm on Google Play Music. Hold on a minute. I can get. Yeah, but I got. Hold on a second.
I'm with Joel so far on this. Oh.
Yeah, see, this was a big one.
This was sixth grade.
Yeah, this I was in fourth grade when this came out.
Sixth grade for me.
But this was still a big hit like 4 years later.
Yeah, they could still play
it. Let me just tell you right now, there's some fucking guys at the Ford Motor Plant loving this show. Does she walk? Does she talk? Does she come complete? Those guys were getting laid like shit all over the fucking place. There was
somebody line is zipping right
there
now.
There's somebody thinking about getting a Hummer and a Dodge Dart Swinger.
This would have been a big one, and then, you know, this was the biggest thing. If you were, when this came out, forget about it. Corey? I mean, even Corey's got it. When this came out, everyone was running out to the dance.
Yeah, everybody.
You were sitting around in Spandau Ballet.
And there was always, I don't care, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to say always.
Yeah.
There was always one fucking kid. Who could dance like Michael Jackson?
Yeah, who could do the dance. Yeah.
Or at least try.
Yeah. There was one
back
guy
then, he was just fucking killing.
He was like the one kid that could do the kickflip.
Oh, yeah.
720.
Yeah.
Like.
Because, you know, when you go to these dances, they play all the slow ones. And then they had to come back with one that would fill the dance floor. And this would be it. This would be the one that would sort of clear off the slow dance. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I got mine.
You got one? You got a killer?
The music.
No, I remember what mine was.
Right. Joel, can you slow it down a little bit? Do you find my tune?
No, I don't know if I can get that. What? It's not. I'll look
this,
for it.
This really was it. I remember now.
Oh, okay. Well, Corey, I can get your thing now because you wrote it weird. Corey, can I ask you...
No, this was a slow
song. I know what you want. I'm
going to bring it down a little bit. Cause...
What is this? Was this about 85? Beat it?
Yeah, 83?
83, 84?
Yeah, this would have been, and then...
This was mine.
This is John's big one?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, man. Shit.
Are
you kidding me?
God, you're old.
Oh, yeah. Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching with those eyes. You got those claps in the background?
This is my first outdoor concert. Was it Pine Knob?
Oh yeah, I was there. Springfield. I was there.
There you go. I wish that I had
Jesse's girl. It's a good song.
Yeah. It's a little too crazy. It's catchy, I guess. But. All right, well, let's
hear Corey.
Let's slow it down.
This was my middle school because I'm a couple years younger.
Yeah,
than
this is Corey.
But this would be a.
How many fingers would you get on this?
Your best
one,
chance
Corey?
To get a titty.
You get a titty on this.
It's your best chance to grab a titty.
Oh, there he is. Thinking of a portly Corey.
Little bangles.
This will make you cry. This song will make you cry.
And Corey
fucking
was
crazy eyes of Susanna Hoffs.
Corey, I can just imagine Corey feeling training bra.
I did.
Right over, yeah, no, right I mean, over the bra.
Nope, get right up on that cocktail dress and squeeze a titty to the bangles.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
Yeah, yeah. This was like all couple titties.
Right.
Everybody got up there and grabbed that titty.
What year was this? Look at this up, Corey. What year was this?
Seven, maybe?
This was 87?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I banged somebody to this. For sure. My virginity was long gone by this time.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, my. What was some of the hip-hop tunes of the day?
Oh, shit, we're in the midst, at this period of time, we're in the midst of King of Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're really into, like, Run-DMC.
Run-DMC, really.
As a matter of fact, I think this is about the same time as when the Time was hitting with, like, Jungle Love.
Yeah,
and
you had that. I mean, I was going to play, you know, if you want to talk hip-hop. Like, I remember this in middle school for hip-hop.
Oh, shit.
You know, this was a big, yeah. This would have been a big thing that we were listening to. I mean, this is still good, though, in a way that
yeah,
a lot of...
No, this is what rap... rap is coming back to this.
It's very rudimentary.
Rap is coming back to this.
Yeah, very simple.
Yeah, this is what I like hip-hop. This is hip-hop for white people.
Well, then there was... But then this was the biggest...
This is a scratching sample.
This was the biggest, like, in that era. For me, this was ninth
grade. I was going to say, I was in high school. I was probably a junior.
Yeah, but this was the biggest thing.
And kids were out of fucking control on the floor. Right
yeah, now. If this came somebody out
would,
at high school...
Somebody
then.
Would break a hip doing this. Yeah, to this.
You play this song now, kids go fucking
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
You should have played this at the middle school band.
I should have, but...
And again, the beat is almost non-existent. It's like, you know, it's like a hi-hat and a bass.
But, you know, listen to the difference in the Beastie Boys rapping.
Yeah.
It's much faster and, like,
and there's a lot of inflection in it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not rappers are kind of monotone.
Yeah.
And these guys actually, you know, had different, they had some, you know, dynamics and...
Yeah. Wow, that's a trip down memory lane.
There it is. There's the middle school dance.
Middle school dance. Middle school, high school dance.
There it is.
I had such a fucking 80s existence that I think sometimes it wasn't even real.
Well, you know when people...
Like, you're imagining Judd Nelson.
No, I mean like, okay, so the first time I asked a girl out on a date,
yeah,
I was in seventh grade,
mm-hmm.
and my sister, I was at a boys and girls club dance. My sister told me to ask a girl out. I asked her out. She said yes. I was very excited.
Yeah.
We made plans to see a movie that had just opened.
Yeah.
I went to... My sister took us. My sister was driving.
Mm-hmm.
I went to pick her up. The girl canceled on me the day of the movie.
Aww.
And so I went. My sister had bought tickets, pre-bought tickets, and I went and saw Breakfast Club by myself.
There you go.
That is an 80s movie.
Wow.
But, you know, it's funny because you tell kid, like, I know there's some millennials that I know. Like, I tell them, like, I lived through the 80s, and they think it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They go, oh, my God, that must have been amazing. And
right.
You kind of go, not it really.
It kind of sucked ass.
It kind of sucked, yeah. I mean, like, I get, like, there were things there that were better then than they are now.
Right.
But it was, like, brutal. Like, I mean, kids now have so much more independence now than we used to have.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I challenge kids who want to talk about the 80s. To fucking play an Atari 2600.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I challenge you to sit there and play Yar's Revenge
right.
on the Atari 2600 yeah. and tell me how great that is.
But, I mean, obviously, the cyclical nature of history.
Yeah.
We will, as older men, 10 to 15 years from now.
We're not older men now?
No. Older men. we will, on, like, AMC, right,
yeah.
we'll be watching a show that akin to Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be called like One to Swatch or something. You know what I mean? And it'll be a drama
80s,
based yeah. on like a
right.
a 19-year-old
right.
in 1985.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that stuff is already happening.
Yeah, I admit my
they're
fact.
Already
well,
starting
they're not.
To be
that's true.
A drama
well, I've watched that show, and you know, I'm not a faggot, but the Carrie Diaries. Do you know what that is?
Oh, is that
it's the young
Sex in the City?
Because hey, Joel, I like how you had to clarify that. I'd be like,
I'm a fag, but
hold on here. Just in case you were wondering, if I enjoyed the sexual company of men, I watched the
you know, I play Bruce in the background when it's on. Don't
right.
get me wrong, but...
You know, I do something manly. You know, I beat up a retarded Korean right after this.
Sometimes when I'm doing bicep curls, I put no.
Joel hates women and gays.
No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. But
he
that show, that show...
He hates women and
that
gays.
That show...
Before he talks
all...
about hating women,
yeah.
he clarified that he wasn't another aspect of society that he hates.
I want you to know something, Ian.
Listen...
I hate no pillow
listen,
biters.
Before I,
but I cried at beaches.
Before I tell
I
you about, before
like
I tell you about this show about whores and bitches, I want to clarify I'm not a fucking gay guy, okay? Because I hate them too.
I'm gonna tell you something right now. I am not a pillow biter.
Yeah,
but fucking I swear to God,
the Carrie Diaries is not that bad a show.
Well, that show
when Deborah Winger got cancer. mean,
I had well, to, I had to stop sucking dick when Deborah Winger was dying. I mean, it was just a terrible.
I ugly cried. I cried so much I look like the fucking old laughing spitting man doll. I cried. For
listen,
that beautiful.
All I'm saying is that show takes place in the '80s, and I watched it as like. I could see the like what was inauthentic about 1986.
Well, now they go, here's what they do. They go, yeah. It's 1986. Let's right. all wear Benetton.
right, yeah.
And, like, everybody dressed like a candy cane.
Yeah, thing. it is a little ridiculous.
They take
yeah.
their cues from, like
the Cyndi Lauper girls yeah, just want to have fun
right.
video.
Right.
Like, everyone was dressed like that.
Now, no, I had fucking really dressed
the
like
the girl
that.
I asked out on the date. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dressed like Cyndi Lauper. Mm-hmm. She was the one girl in our school. One girl in our
that
school.
That was the one who stood
and
up.
She and I used to wear sport coats, overcoats, and all my hair was when I had hair yeah. was all standing up. And the reason that people always thought that we should go out is because we were the only two fucking kids in the whole school that dressed the way people think. It's a great song.
I wanted to say, I didn't know it was going to come on that loud. This man, John kind of looks 80s. Look at that outfit he's got today. It's a little, he kind of got a skinny
Parking back to
you know what John looks like? The preppies that beat up Weird Science.
The preppies that beat me up when I was in Weird Science.
Well, do you remember how great. Man, like
now I'm no faggot, but this is a good song. Simple Minds.
What, like the bullies in Weird Science are like preppy guys.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're the jocks.
And you're like, they're not even jocks. They're like, fucking Robert Downey Jr.'s the bully.
Yeah.
That's
how
sad those guys are.
You know, people miss out on the John Hughes film that gets cut out the most is Some Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
That's a great film. Yeah. It's so disgustingly 80s.
Yeah.
That it's probably the best of his 80s.
Well,
films.
You know, apparently that was the. He felt bad about Pretty in Pink.
Right.
So he did the reverse gender version.
Right.
Where, you know, Eric Stoltz ends up with the right girl. Me, I would have fucked the shit out of Leah Thompson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you painted a whole big picture for her.
I did. Well, that's what I'm trying to do here, is I'm trying to set...
Miss Amanda Green.
I'm trying to set the scene for everyone. You know, today's, we were all listening to this, right? This was all...
Oh, of course.
Isn't this every 80s movie? They go to the party and Boingo Boingo
goes
on.
You got some drinks? Hey, give me a beer, Joel. Hey, good to see you guys over there.
Hey, man.
I don't know, man. I told him, forget math. It's summer.
Hey, Corey, did you know that Paul the Third is here? He's going to kick your ass, dude.
Oh, no way.
You should have never talked to Cyndi in homeroom.
This is what the 80s sounded like right here, kids.
Hey, man, let's get ducky and split.
There's one guy that has a full computer in his car. Somehow it works.
And then Ted McGinley walks in and goes, I'm going to get those nerds. It's the last thing I do.
I'm going to show that Corey and Joel one time. Yeah, John would be in the movie.
These nerds have ruined my party for the last time.
Like, you and I would be the fat nerds, and then John would be kind of the Kip nerd.
Yeah.
He's like the John Cryer kind of nerd that would be hanging out with us.
Of course, at some point, this would happen, too.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's me,
Canto Chico.
Is that kid Mexican or Japanese? What's going on with him? Oh, I do a bong of PR.
Yep, that was the 80s, kids.
Oh, God.
It was great.
Adios, Geronimo.
Oh, man.
The worst part about the 80s, I wasn't old enough to do coke or anything.
No,
really,
I missed all the fun stuff in the
80s. You're always old enough to do coke. I did coke in the
80s. You did coke in the 90s and the 2000s, probably.
No 90s.
No 90s.
No
90s. Yeah,
no
90s.
No 2000s either.
That's when I did the coke, was the 90s.
No, because I didn't do anything from 90 to 2002.
Have we really had, like, 90s nostalgia yet? Because I think that is maybe where, you know.
I don't think.
We're
I had this conversation with a friend of mine. I don't think anything from the 90s stuck.
No?
I think it was a transitional era.
But wasn't the 80s?
Because, like, kids,
what
like,
from the 80s stuck?
Grunge.
Well, grunge, but grunge.
It didn't stick.
But it's still
I'm
good
starting,
if you,
you know
put
what?
It on. It's
but, I mean,
still
it didn't
music.
Stick. The kids don't care about it.
Well, but I like, wonder if they will care about it
I don't think
soon.
They will. I don't.
No?
I think that 90s was this. It was for us.
Yeah.
It was for people that were teenagers and in their 20s.
Generation X.
Yeah. And that's
it was,
all
and
that
it was
mattered.
A reaction to all of the 80s culture.
Exactly.
But
the problem is we are wedged between two cultural behemoths.
Yes.
the fucking baby boomers,
yeah,
who have a cultural strength. I put up an article on Facebook a while ago when Kennedy, during the Kennedy assassination week.
Yeah.
There was a, somebody wrote an article about, like, thank God we're finally getting out of the Kennedy baby boomer remembrance
right.
era.
Yeah.
It's like Kennedy's still dead and they're still talking about it.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? This is, I did this on stage. I was like, Do you remember where you were when you were bored by someone telling you where they were when Kennedy was a guest? Like,
right.
Why do we fucking care? Yeah. But that's like been a cultural meme.
Right.
Where were you?
Well, it's the new one. Where were you on 9/11? Is that kind of the new
I know, yeah. But like, I don't care where you were.
Yeah.
You were at your office.
Where were you on 9/11, John Tenney?
I was working. I didn't know it happened until 8:30 at night.
What kind of job did you have?
I was working at the time at an art gallery.
Yeah,
and I had
like
to,
by yourself.
I had to install art at this place. The place didn't have any power yet.
Yeah,
so the manager left me a key, and he said you have to be there at 6.
Yeah,
start installing art, and then you know, you can leave at 9.
Okay,
and so I went there, let myself in. Mm-hmm. I brought a lunch with me.
Okay,
there was no power in the building. I hung out and walked around the building, and you know, just fucked around all day. And then when I, about 8 o'clock, I split out. The car I had at the time didn't have a radio in it. I drove home.
Yeah.
I got home, made dinner.
Didn't know.
Sat down on the couch, turned the TV on, and was like, holy shit. And I wanted to call someone.
Yeah.
But I was 12 hours behind. Like, everybody else in the
world knew what had happened, yeah.
But I think about that now, and I think how strange it is that I was driving home, and I was still like, oh, this fucking job, and I'm not making enough money, and the world for me was still exactly the same.
Well,
but everybody in the cars around me
was
were thinking, like, the whole United States was going
to
blow up.
My dad said this to me recently, because I was living with him. My mom had died a few years before. It was me and my dad living in the house I grew up in, and my dad had to, like, paint the garage that day.
Right.
And I remember seeing this on the news, and I, you know, my friend had called me at 8:30 when the first plane hit, because he was a driver. He had a job as a driver, and he called me, and he goes, I can't watch the news. You have to tell me what happens. I go, I'm asleep, man. I just woke up. Let me see, put it on. And I put it on, and I watched the first tower fall.
Yeah.
Right as I turned on the TV, the tower, it's the Today Show, and the tower fell. But my dad was out in the garage, so I go, Dad, you got to see what's going on TV. They're attacking the World Trade Center. The buildings are falling. I'm painting the garage.
Right.
Leave me the hell alone. I got to get this done before the weekend. And then I'm like, "What? You should come watch." No, I'm not leaving here until this is, you know, so he's in the garage painting all day. And I go, Dad, this is like a big world event. Leave me alone. You know, just cursing at
right.
me. Okay, I leave him alone. I go back watching the whole thing. 6 o'clock, he comes. Dad, did you turn on the news? I got to finish. I got to do, you know. And he didn't, so he was like, he thought I was like full of shit.
See, I would like
or
to
something
see
for the whole time.
Just because
I remember thinking that there was when the Challenger blew up. I was in school.
Yeah.
I was in elementary school.
I was in high school.
Yeah, because I'm young. I was in like fifth grade.
Yeah, I think I was in eighth or seventh.
And this kid Kenny Tebow, who was a class idiot, comes. We were like at recess or something, and he comes running out and he goes, "The space shuttle blew up."
Yeah.
And we're like, shut up, Kenny. You shut up, dummy.
Right.
And we all were like,
there's always orange flames
when
the space shuttle.
It's funny that you say that because I was walking. I had skipped class, and so I was just kind of hanging out in the hallways. I was in high school, and like a kid came running down the hallway, and I was like, hey, what's going on, man? And he goes, the space shuttle blew up. And I did the same thing. I was like, fuck you. And he goes, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And so there was a teacher who had like a independent, like the teacher was just sitting in his class with his door open. There were no students in there.
Uh-huh.
And I took this kid. He was a freshman. I think I was a sophomore, junior. And I took the kid by the collar and I walked him into the teacher's room and I go, tell the teacher what you just told me.
Yeah.
And the kid looked at the teacher and goes, the space shuttle just blew up.
Right.
And the teacher was like, what? And then I was like, oh shit. Like, he just told a teacher. I mean, he's not going to lie to a teacher.
Shit now, yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and then I think like 10 minutes later, they wheeled in the TV. And
yeah, because that was, you know.
Well, there were kids in science class watching it.
Right, because I remember there were kids that I think were like the library aides saw it happen.
Oh, yeah.
But the space shuttle at that point was not a big deal. It was so routine that, you know, we used to all watch. I remember watching the first space shuttle and the landing when they came back. We would all get together in school and watch that. But by that point, by 84 or whenever that
happened, I was in Florida for the first space shuttle launch.
But when, But anyway, by the time the space shuttle, by the time the one that blew up, Ultimate Columbia, no one even cared at that point.
Right,
it was so routine.
It was like the last guys on the moon.
Yeah, it was sort of like
people were like, oh, fucking whatever.
We've seen it. We've done it. Yeah.
You got guys up there, and they're like,
right.
We went to the moon like 6 times, and they were already bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It. People right. suck. All right. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think anything from the 90s
but
is worth anything.
No, it's not. But I would imagine
it will be.
I got to imagine there's going to be a sitcom set in the Seattle grunge era or some sort of. No.
If anything, that's what you'll see on AMC is they'll be like, there'll be a, what was the movie called that was set?
Well, there was singles. Yeah.
There'll be like a drama weekly version of that on AMC.
There's already the Goldbergs is set in the 80s.
Right, there's a ton of 80s stuff.
Here's what happens. All the guys that are 35 now write these shows.
Sure.
That's why Happy Days was on.
Right.
Because those guys were...
Because
yeah,
the guys in the
70s
were remembering the... Or right, American right. Graffiti. So there was a movie...
So it should be a 20-year lag. That's traditionally what it's been.
Right.
So we should be in 90s nostalgia
there
now, because it's
2013. Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Okay, yeah.
Was
yeah, that
set
was
in, like, but 92.
But I think 92, like, and that was inauthentic. I didn't like... I thought they got that wrong.
I thought they kind
really
of got
did.
It somewhat right.
Yeah,
but you know what? I think Joel's right. I think it's 20 years, though, and I think we're almost there,
but not...
At least
it used to be. It may not be anymore.
I think it is, but I think we're almost there, but we're not, because what happens is I think that when you're in an actual position to say yes on this show, no on that show.
Yeah.
You're late 40s to early 50s.
Okay.
And so those guys...
Well, but the guys who are writing screenplays are now in their mid to late 30s. And those are the guys who start going, let me write my high school story about 1993.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think we'll start getting that stuff.
I mean, I don't know that I care.
Black Nativity? Was that an older guy?
Yeah, it was an older guy named...
Marvin Rosenblatt.
It's an older guy named Pazuzu. Was named Scratch.
Is that Mary J. Blige in
this? Yes, it is.
Angela Bassett?
Well, we've talked about it. I don't know how recently we talked about how, like, in black culture, like, whatever you do, like, if you have a number one single, John, you get to star in a movie.
You know,
like,
there's a new channel now on non-cable.
Yeah.
Called Bounce.
Which is a black channel.
Yeah. It's geared toward the African-American community. And I watched a movie... Which is actually just a stage play that someone filmed with one camera. And it was a movie. It like had opening credits and titles, and then it was just nobody was mic'd. The sound was coming off of the camera.
Well, black culture is in a weird place. They're producing more stuff, and it's not all good. This is the name of an actual movie that came out in 2013. I'm in love with a church girl. That was an actual movie.
John mentioned Bounce, and I couldn't not play a little more Bounce to the Ounce for that because... But this at the middle school dance, nothing. If you played it... This is kind of Skrillex-y in a way.
I guess.
Got the vocals distorted.
Right.
But no, no one would...
Did you guys talk about the passing of Bootsy?
Bootsy X.
I'm not
familiar with the guy.
No, all right. Shout out to him. Did a lot of good music.
Good.
I saw the Love Masters a few times.
He's in funky heaven now.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
he was a guy that, like, people I know were good friends with.
Yeah.
Not really me, but...
Anybody else die we should give a shout-out to at the end of the year?
Paul Walker.
I mean, that thing, which
you
was ridiculous.
Dumb frick.
My feeling is, you know, I love that, like, there's this crisis about what are we going to do with Fast and Furious 7.
Right.
How about not
making... Stop making them.
Yeah, I go, isn't 6 enough of those fucking movies?
But
I mean,
they're, like, half done with 7, right?
Well,
they're like, what should we do with it? It's like, listen, there's no argument. You're going to fucking put it out.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that pretend
just
shit where it's like...
Just kill Paul Walker's character in the middle of it.
I think that's what they're going to do. But, you know...
Are they going to use actual footage?
Yeah, they
just use what happened to him. He burned up in a car crash.
Well,
that's right here.
Spoilers, you know, the big ending of Fast and the Furious 6.
Yeah.
Or Fast 6, or whatever the fuck they called it.
It's merging genre. It's merging two.
Yeah, it
right?
was called Fast and the Furious 6, I'm in Love with the Church Girl.
Oh. Oh,
and,
there you go.
Yeah. Or the Desolation of Small. Fast and the Furious 6.
The Desolation of Black Nativity.
You want to review that? Because that's coming out this week.
Oh, fuck that noise.
did you see it already?
Yeah, I saw it.
He saw it.
Did you review it?
No.
Give me a review.
Here's my review.
Because I saw the first one.
Yeah, John and I went to the premiere of that.
We did.
We thought it was a fun ride. It was kind of a terrible movie.
Right. It should have been the only one we had to see.
That would have been enough. 3 hours was plenty to live
in
the world of the high.
This is what makes it worse is this is the middle one.
Right. And so there was
nothing happened.
Right. And there's only like a 100 page book that all three movies are based on.
It's so dull. John.
Somebody I read said you could read the whole Hobbit book waiting in line to see the Desolation of Smaug.
Right.
You know how there's a character in the Hobbit called Bjorn?
Yes.
And Bjorn is a werebear.
Okay.
He's not interesting as a bear or a man. And in this movie, you're just like, oh, there's a big CGI bear.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns into the man, and he's got a big beard. And you're like, this, yeah. And then he gives a speech about how he doesn't like dwarves. Oh. And it's like, why are we watching this? It's all set up for he's going to do. It's
right.
Like, this guy who turns into a bear is going to do some cool shit in the next movie.
Right.
He's not going to do anything of interest
here. How much dragon in this film?
A lot of dragon. Too much dragon.
Too much dragon?
The dragon shows up in the last third, and then you're like.
A better dragon than Dragonheart?
Yes.
Better dragon than Dragon Slayer?
That dragon's cool.
That is a cool dragon. That's what I'm saying. Better dragon than Dragon Slayer?
That is a cool dragon. No, because you know what's cool about that dragon? It's real.
Yeah, I know.
It's practical.
Right.
And that's what, in like the
better dragon than Reign of Fire dragons?
Yeah. I love Reign of Fire, though. Don't get me wrong.
I love Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire, which stars Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale, which
is
crazy.
That's a good movie. When that dragon is like flapping, pulling itself along because I think its wings are burned out at the near the end.
I've said
it's a good looking dragon.
I said it at the time and I'll stick by it.
Yeah.
It is the best helicopter versus dragon movie ever made.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, Reign of Fire is kind of cool because it's one of those cheesy, like, B sci-fi movies that actually turns out to be good.
Right.
Like, Cloverfield was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cloverfield was good.
The Smaug, the dragon shows up, and you're like, this is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. Then the dragon walks around for 20 minutes telling Bilbo how he's going to eat him.
Right.
And then you're like, well, fucking eat him. He's the biggest talker.
Yeah.
He's like an open mic comic. He's like, I'm the funniest dragon in all of Middle Earth. And no one is funnier than this dragon. And then he fucking goes up and tells a joke like Bruce Springsteen, like an old fucking hobbled man. You're like, I am the great destroyer. I am the destructive Smaug. And then he can't get, then six midgets walk into his fucking lair and he can't catch him. Right?
Yeah.
Six midgets walk into my lair. The first midget says, you got any grapes?
Hey-o.
Okay.
I don't got any grapes, but I got some nuts. Hey-o!
Hey-o!
Did anyone see the Godzilla trailer?
I saw it.
Looks good.
It looks good. That guy made that movie Monsters, which was real.
Yeah, yeah.
That does look kind of good.
Ever saw Monsters, it's kind of good. It's pretty
good. The acting wasn't great in Monsters, but...
No, but he wasn't really
using... It's a Godzilla movie, so, you know.
Yeah. It's all about...
I'm always excited for something that looks like it might be good.
Did you see Pacific Rim?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
It was fine.
I thought the monsters were good. The humans were terrible.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was just okay. Yeah.
It was, again, it's one of my major problems with films these days, especially like Transformers or Pacific Rim, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You're too close to the action and there's too many fucking colors and lights happening.
Right.
Yeah,
I can't see what's going on.
I agree.
One of the things that I loved about old Godzilla movies with guy in rubber suit make funny monster movie is it was just two guys slugging it out. Here's the cameras back here.
Yeah.
They're in the foreground. Godzilla's tail's hitting him. I can see it's hitting him. He's smacking him in the head. Now Godzilla's got his hands on his head going, oh, I got a headache. Like, that's what I want. Now the stuff is so close, I can't see what's a fucking robot, what's a person, what's a monster.
In The Hobbit, also, notice whose pictures are up here.
Right.
Two fucking elves who aren't in the book.
Right.
You just, like, they...
People love... Women love Orlando Bloom.
They put Legolas back in the movie, and then there's, like, 20 minutes of Legolas running around, and you're just like... It's a lot of...
He's completely blown this series, right?
I want to say Peter Jackson lost his mojo, whatever he had. By the way, it's called The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And I counted, and I think that Martin Freeman has like 17 lines.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like he's fucking of no consequence in the movie.
So, I mean, what's the driving force behind making these? I mean, if they're
money.
Not... Money. I got it, but I mean...
Money.
Like, they just go, there's not enough dragon. We need more dragon.
You
we
know
need
what?
Elves. We need these guys.
The Lord of the Rings movies... grossed like $5 billion. Mm-hmm. And New Line said, we didn't make any money.
Right, yeah, because some things like they had to chop up the money a bunch of different ways because different people had rights, and so...
So Peter Jackson said, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm going to make The Hobbit and get a better deal this time.
Okay. I know I'm coming late to the game on movie reviews, but I just saw Sharknado.
Oh, yeah. that's a it's Sharknado.
Just come in late to that.
Just, I never saw. But
you never saw
never
that?
Saw, never
oh,
saw
I saw Sharknado.
All right,
it's,
well,
it's got
it's
Ian,
terrible.
It's got Ian Ziering.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
When I was watching it, it's fantastic.
Sure.
There's no fucking continuity.
Yeah. Right.
You know, their car is 7 feet deep in water with sharks swimming by them, and then they get out of the car and like, there's a point where they pull up to a house.
Yeah.
To rescue Tara Reid.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they go inside. While they're inside, the front window of the house breaks.
Uh-huh.
And the house floods and sharks come into the house.
Okay. And then the water disappears.
And then they open the door and they run out where there's no water and get in the car and drive
so
away.
The back of the house has no water.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's got
it's
like,
amazing.
It's got incredible problems with day and night confusion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Where it switches between day and night like instantly.
Yeah.
And in the house where Tara Reid lives. For the set decoration are like her headshots are on the wall. So it's like great
budget.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, it's great.
And you know the
I also saw Ghost Shark. Did you see that one yet?
No.
Ghost Shark. You know
on Sci-Fi.
You know what else is great?
Where the kids are playing in a fire hydrant and the ghost of a shark comes out of the fire hydrant and eats the kids.
Wow.
Yeah, Ghost Shark.
You know
check
what's
that
great?
Out.
You know it's great in Sharknado because they made it for so little money that they didn't really shut the streets down.
Right.
Or no, or people didn't know that they were shooting.
Right, so there's
Sharknado.
Just cars driving around in
so
the background.
So there's just regular
people
LA
walking.
Traffic going on Pico while apparently an ocean of sharks is flooding up into, you know, central
Some
Los
of the
Angeles.
Worst CGI in the world.
It's incredibly bad.
What are you drawing, Joel?
I'm trying to find the guy, because I had the article up, the guy who faked the sign language during the Mandela.
Oh, I don't know what that is now. Can you tell me what that is?
So during the Mandela funeral, they had a sign language interpreter,
right?
Who was standing right next to the speaker.
Yeah, they do this at all these big
events.
Of
course.
You know, he did it for Obama when
Of course.
So the president's up there talking, and this guy's going.
Corey's doing the hand jive right now.
He's just doing that. He's just doing this, and so people on Twitter started going. Who is this clown?
Yeah, it doesn't look like real sign language.
They're like, that guy's doing nothing. Get him off.
And then sign language experts were interviewed, and they said, yeah, that's not sign language. People thought maybe it was sign language for like Zulu or some African language. They're like, no, it's not even that.
It's no. And because
I have the reason why the guy did it.
And then
the
actual South African TV coverage had a real sign language interpreter on it for
it was
the deaf.
A little window.
And she was doing completely different signs.
Okay. Huh. I can read you what his excuse is.
It's great.
Because they found the guy. They interviewed him. They says, the fake sign language interpreter who stood mere feet from several word eaters during Nelson Mandela's memorial said he suffered a schizophrenic episode on stage.
Wow.
His guy's name is Tam Sankwa Jant G, 34 years old, was accused of gesticulating gibberish during Tuesday's service.
Good work on that name, Joel.
Yeah, well, you know, it's my... I grew up with a Tam Sankwa Jant G.
Well, right, of course.
I had
three at my school.
He was on the wrestling team with me.
Right. It says, members of the deaf community said his movements did not resemble any recognized form of sign language, and some accused him of being a fake. Jant G told Johannesburg Star newspaper he started hearing voices in his head and hallucinated while at the Mandela event, resulting in gestures that made no sense and outraged deaf people all over the world. They talked that about it. They desecrate the name of Dan Delta.
Now listen.
How dare
that was
they
a long.
Do
now listen.
That?
It's a long way to go for that punch.
I just
now
made
listen.
That up. That was it was improvisation.
Now listen, Corey.
Dory.
Before I tell you about these fucking bitches, let me clarify that I'm not a fucking faggot, and that I am not a goddamn deaf person.
I'm not a faggot. But
or that person. I don't like deaf people.
But if I want the deaf faggot,
okay,
I would
who does Joel like as the next show? Is there anyone that you get along with?
I get along with Corey.
Bruce Springsteen.
Well, actually, Corey and I.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, me and Bruce, I wrote those jokes for Bruce, by the way.
Glory days.
Glory days.
He says there was
knock,
nothing
knock.
I could do.
Glory days, knock, knock. Joel, knock, knock. Bruce Springsteen, knock, knock.
Here's a joke.
Joel, knock, knock.
Who's there, Bruce?
Glory days.
I thought I was going to do. I thought he could just start doing his song as a joke. So I get up in the evening, and I've got nothing to say. So I come home in the morning, and you know what? I'm feeling the same way. So I'm not nothing but tired.
Times like us,
Baby, we were born to wreck them. I nearly killed them.
There's a guy that... Let me just tell you a little joke. There's a guy who woke up in the night, and his sheets were soaking with a freight train running through the middle of his head.
You know, there was a rabbi.
Yeah.
Does he know he's Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, you know, I mean, okay. You know, those jokes were not that bad. You guys, so you give him some credit. Mm. Give him some credit.
No.
No. Not at all.
No.
No, he gets this, no. Bruce just gets no pass.
No.
No pass.
If you hate fags, I can hate Bruce Springsteen.
I didn't say I hate fags. I just said because I watched
I'm the not
Carrie Diaries. That girl is very cute.
But
and I watched her in the show, in the movie, the way back.
But I swear to God.
And then I saw her in the show, and I watched the show. That's it. It's the show.
And
it's
rub one out to her?
Nah.
So out. I swear, I'm not a fag, but I'm DVRing what not to wear. I'm watching Say Yes to the Dress, Big and Beautiful Edition. And I turn to Philippe, and I say, Philippe, would you take your balls out of my mouth for a minute? I got to tell a joke.
It's okay. You know, I mean, you just got to dump on me.
How long have we been going? 3 hours on this one?
I've been here since 2 in the morning.
Yeah, Corey's like, he won't let me out of here. I swear to God. Right. No, I'm sorry. Look, what do you want from me? I'm, you know.
I want your love. I want the love of a man, strong.
Corey,
your
love.
Listen, I'm not a gay man, okay? So I'm
thank
sorry.
You. All right, we
you
were
do
all
do
worried.
Magic, though. So.
I'm not gay or anything. Let's go back to the 80s, though, and remember, though, because... Now, this was my favorite song in the 80s.
Are there any documented straight magicians? Fucking Doug Henning. David Copperfield.
Feel free to sing along, John.
Chris Angel's so, gay, right?
Joel is proving he's not gay by playing Ooh
Amour. I'm making a joke, obviously. I'm referring.
Do you have some aha?
Do you have Bronski
over there?
Do you have Bronski beat on there?
I could get that.
Fucking Bronski.
Small town boy Bronski beat.
This is my me and my
these
buddies
are all on Joel's iPod.
Me and my buddies used to dance around to this, and you know. Let me know.
Do you know what the gay national anthem is? If you're all
alone, when the pretty oh my God. Flown, honey,
I'm still free. You know what? Wow. Take a chance on me. Gonna do my
very best. And it ain't no... Come on, Tenny. Let's rock, Tenny. You ready?
Yeah, I got
we're
one.
We're gonna rock, buddy?
Yeah, let's have it.
You ready to rock? Let's
no.
do it, man.
Which one is this?
Come on, Tenny. Right now, Tenny.
Oh.
Tenny, let's take our shirts off. Come on, let's go.
I forgot about this.
Come on, Tenny.
Relax,
hey,
Joel.
Corey.
Relax.
You want to oil each other up and dance around? Come on, man. You want to wrestle, Corey? Come on. Let's get going. Let's get this going, Tenny. Let's
you
go.
Remember the lead singer's name? Do you remember the lead singer's name?
Yeah, Holly Johnson.
Holly Johnson.
Holly Johnson. That's quite a name.
You know, I forgot like about this when we were trying to come up with songs. I forgot about like this whole like culture club.
Oh yeah, the '80s, like the new wave.
Yeah. I forgot all.
Did
about
you see the story about
ABC?
How...
You remember this band ABC?
Another Bad Creation?
Huh? No, not another Bad Creation. ABC, who did like a Look of Love?
Yeah. Oh. Did you see the story about a girl's?
Joel, you've
turn
just
it down a little.
Yeah,
bit.
You've just lost everybody at the Ford Motor Company with that.
All right, then I'll get you back with this one.
Okay,
that's
good.
Okay, Gory. Tell your story.
Did you see the story about how, like, a girl's bat mitzvah shirt from 1993 showed up in Africa?
I did not see it.
And then, like people tracked down how that shirt got there. I feel the same feel. I feel like
picture
somewhere now in Kenya, they're getting this song. They're just now getting this music.
They're just now getting Thompson Twins, and that's the stage of you and of me and we're Tenny had this. Tenny had this cassette in the car, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and Tenny had
I was working at a record store at this point.
Tenny
Live now.
You make fun of me, and it's Tenny who owned all
Saturday
these records.
Dawn.
You know, I'm not a homosexual, but I do
love all this new wave.
I kind of do too.
I do.
Listen. And it, you know, at the time I didn't.
You know what, Joel?
Yeah.
What are you looking at? What were you going to give me?
Hold on a second. I got a good.
You know what's really weird is that at the time I didn't like this stuff as much.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
You know this? Yeah, Tenny loves this. That's a little ABC with Poison Arrow. Joel Fragamenti here, Joel Radio, shooting that Poison Arrow right through your heart on this very podcast with my buddies, Corey Hall. And,
All right. We're going to take it to the top of the hour.
Shoot that Poison Arrow. Shoot that Poison Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's the gayest dance party in the history of podcasting.
I want to say to you, can you keep a secret? Would you know just what to do or where to keep it? And I say I love you.
Jesse, Kenny's into all this.
I do love it. You know what? Let me tell you this. I got...
Who broke my heart?
You did.
I got... Because I was in a punk band at the time.
Yeah.
I was in like a hardcore punk band called The Generation at the time.
Okay.
And I got beat up and shit on by all my friends for listening to this stuff.
Yeah.
I was the only one getting laid.
Well, everybody's walking around... I remember everybody's walking around in like Misfits jackets and stuff and like... Yeah, that punk didn't give out a lot of pussy.
Huh?
Not a lot of pussy given out by the punk.
No, but new wave chicks? Yes.
Those girls put it out
well,
there.
You know what?
It's a great song.
No, that's why I got into hippie.
It's a great song. This is a great song.
But see, that's the exact point.
I'm no fag, but this is a good song.
I was listening to, you know, fucking grunge and then like indie and stuff.
Yeah.
And I would be going out with like hippie chicks.
Right.
I was going out with girls that were into the Dead and stuff. You know?
Right, yeah.
I got one last one for you. You can pick from the two I wrote down. This is a great fucking song.
All right, okay, I can do that.
You got that. I know you got that.
It's the big 80s.
I gave you one that was super popular and one that was popular,
no, I got one.
Life's imperfections.
All right, I gotta kill the one to start the...
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Please.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking song.
No, this is great. I like this stuff.
Listen to those goddamn keyboards. They're just fucking crushing it with keyboards.
I listen to on Sirius, there's First Wave. Is there like new wave station? And I like this shit so much better now than I did.
Oh my god, this is. I don't know who was crying over me, but I got an image of this song playing and a girl crying because I just broke up with her.
A tear. You're walking away becoming a distant little speck and the tears are pouring out.
Do you want the ultimate 80s new wave song?
Throw it out.
I'll give it to you. And I think hopefully this is not the remake of it, but I...
Oh.
Right? I mean, it's got... No, John, you're not...
I met these guys.
Baby.
In the 80s.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the song, right?
Yeah,
and this
absolutely.
Band never had another hit until they remade this song.
Moving forward, using all my breath.
Joel Radio with your little modern English.
Making love to you was never second best.
Well, did like Simply Red have another hit?
Oh yeah, well, Simply Red is kind of
for girls.
It's like
wait, hold on.
You know what?
Everything you've just played isn't for girls. What the fuck are you talking about? You only listen to this music when you're trying to get some girls.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Now, I'll tell you, when I tell you that my 80s seems like a movie experience, my family used to go to Florida every year for vacation.
Yeah.
And we were in Florida for their first MTV Spring Break.
Okay.
And Modern English was the headline band. And they stayed at our hotel.
Oh, wow.
And I got to hang out with them.
Oh, my God.
I think I was 12 or 13. And I was hanging out with Modern English.
They loved having you around.
Oh, they couldn't understand why they were such a huge hit in America. Yeah. I mean, they were just like these guys from...
What movie used this?
Valley Girl.
Valley Girl used
this. Yeah,
say, one movie used this right away.
Valley Girl?
And then it sort of went everywhere, yeah.
This is Valley Girl. This is like Nicolas Cage and Deborah Foreman making out.
Okay.
The young... This is, you know, Nick Coppola. What is that right?
Yeah.
He might have been Nick Cage by then.
He was Nick Cage by then, but I mean...
Yeah, I think that's as definitive the 80s as it gets.
This is it.
You know, you could get into, you know, some other stuff, but...
No, it is. It's Melt. It's this song. It's Modern English Melt With You. It's Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Mm-hmm.
And probably...
I was going to throw this in there, but I think this is later.
What about Sweet Dreams?
I was going to say this is almost...
Sweet Dreams for sure.
I was going to say, this is almost too cool, this next one.
I knew you were going to fucking play this. Now, can I tell you, I got goosebumps when you played that opening track.
Of Modern English?
Yeah. Right. I'm still getting them. Corey can attest to these goosebumps.
Wow, he is.
I am getting goosebumps because there was a girl that I was so fucking hot for.
Yeah.
And I went over her house to watch the premiere of this video.
Right.
And during this video, she put her arm around
me. Oh, that's terrific.
And I remember that to this day. You fucking whore.
I'm well enough.
She ended up fucking one of my best friends when I caught her maybe 3 months later.
Well,
how about this?
I could listen to that shit all day long. Yeah. He could play any song.
What is that? Because I almost think this Cure is almost too
cool
or something.
Yeah, you know,
like Modern English was like kind of.
Well, if you were into the Cure,
you're getting into a whole different thing. You're getting into British pop wave, right? So like the Cure was too cool. This next band that you play a song by was too cool.
Yeah.
The Smiths were too cool.
It's a distinction.
Joy Division was too cool.
Now, see, we were into the Smiths.
Oh yeah,
we liked the Smiths and shit like that.
It's amazing that Morrissey got me laid as much. Like, no other asexual, homosexual, gay man ever got another single man.
See,
so
I think
much
this, when you talk about this group, I think this is...
Elton John, maybe, back in the 70s.
This is the one that I sort of remember from these guys, but I never, you know... This is, just to me, just way less catchy than those other ones. I don't know. This is too...
Which one? Oh, yeah.
This is Lips Like Sugar.
Yeah. This was later, though.
Oh, yeah?
This is later song.
What should I be playing?
Killing Moon.
Killing Moon.
Yeah, but Killing Moon is not pop like this.
No, there was... when I listened to Neck on the Bunny Man, I think they maybe only had a 12-inch 4 song out, and they had a song in there called, like...
This is now into... You're now into what they call college rock.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? Also, this song used in a fucking car commercial like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll admit, I didn't listen to this until Pavement covered it, so that was I was late to the party on Echo and the Bunnymen.
But yeah, I mean, this stuff was that next. It was the next underneath New Wave was British New Wave.
Was like
and you had to be
Jam.
The Jam, Killing
Style
Joke.
Council.
Yeah, Style, yeah.
Then you'd go into like XTC.
Right.
Yeah.
This is an all music episode.
All right, well, let's, maybe we should wrap up this
through
music
the
episode.
Thick and thin.
I mean, it all started from your DJ gig.
I want to do
okay,
that.
Now wait a second.
Yeah.
Because we've just listened to all that.
Yeah.
We've lost all the Ford Motor Workers.
Yeah. Well, they want more Bruce jokes. They're telling me.
They want
more Bruce jokes. I'm out.
I heard that.
I'm out of Bruce jokes.
Hey, 610-552-0746. Tell us how many fingers you got into bitches and what song
What song did you...
We'll do an all-request show.
What song did you first unlatch a bra to? What song was that?
You know, there's a Joel Radio Facebook page which goes underloved. Go like us on...
Yeah, Facebook, Joel Radio.
That has not been updated in 8 months.
Well, hey.
How else can they reach us?
610-552. Well, they can download the show. You can listen on Stitcher. If you don't want to download the show, you can stream it
Send
to your mobile
email.
Device on Stitcher. That's a great way.
How
to
about
do
the
it.
Email? Have you ever given?
Yeah, go to joelradio.net, hit contact, and
if people want to contact me, they can go to weirdlectures.com. John at weirdlectures.com. I'm asking for that for the Ford Motor Workers. Can we close out? Can we close out to that? Can we give? Can we give those guys something to listen to? So, yeah, you can go to weirdlectures.com. I talk about ghosts and UFOs and conspiracy theories and Bigfoot and all that stuff. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff.
There you go.
Just type in Weird Lectures in Google, and that's where you find a whole bunch of shit about me.
And then, you get to this level, then you're into Elvis Costello.
I'm playing this. This is going out.
John thinks we've lost the auto workers.
So I'm bringing them back with this.
He wants to bring them back.
Oh, shit, man. Come on. Here it comes. No, wait. Let it go for a sec. Come on. We didn't have much money.
Now, this is fucking rock and roll, my friends. Wait, here it comes, Joe. Here. We're going to get a hit.
Rock and roll, man.
Piano player. Piano player.
No, I thought I'd segue right.
Goes down to see the agent.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, poor Bruce. I thought I could mix the two live. Yeah, no.
And Bruce would be telling a joke underneath.
There's nothing wrong with Boston.
Yeah, Boston always works. All right, well, listen, I want to thank John Tenney for being here.
Yeah, thanks.
This is going to cost us $17,000.
Yeah, they're going to rip this right off the internet.
Are they really? No, they're not.
I don't think so. But here's the thing.
We talked over everything.
You know, people would love for us to do like, because I remember I did one time, I did a bonus feature where I played records.
Yeah.
And I just played like, I can't remember what the if there was like a theme or anything.
Right.
But people loved it. I went and I just would talk between the records. I just played like a radio show.
Right.
And everyone said it was great.
Now, I used to play a game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could ever hook this up.
What's that?
But I used to play a game where my roommate and I at the time, this is 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he would sit in his room with his computer. I would sit in my room with my computer.
Yeah.
And we would do it. We would play an entire night.
Yeah.
He would play a song. I'd try and beat that song.
Okay, so you'd do something similar but better.
Right.
Yeah.
And we would do that, and we would pick at the beginning of the night.
Sure.
We would say, like, classic rock.
Okay.
And then out of our libraries,
yeah.
we had to beat each other better.
Sure, yeah.
Mm, that's good.
Well, that's good. Well, that's, you know, that's something I can
I think
do.
People should do that at the bars, actually. I think people should. You should plug in your phone.
There are iPad nights that some.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, I think people should battle each other.
And battle each other and say, this is.
Only stuff you have on your phone or only stuff you have on your iPod.
Well, we used to do that at the Belmont. There was like Monday night DJ.
Right.
And you would just, people would just bring their, like,
But this is a battle.
They'd bring their
masks.
And
it's judged by the crowd.
Well. John, you would win those battles because you wouldn't persuade people.
I wouldn't.
People love you.
I wouldn't. People don't love me.
I saw that show. People came out to watch you talk about Casper, the Friendly Ghost.
That is true. That was a lot of people, that fucking show.
That was a good show.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out. I love all of those people.
They do. They come out and they listen to you.
You've even gotten Joel Radio some listeners.
You didn't even talk.
I mean,
You didn't even talk about Tac Mars or anything.
I didn't talk about Tac Mars.
We didn't talk about any aggregors. I tried to get you to talk about aggregors.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about any paranormal stuff.
No, not at all. Well, there's, you know,
it's a softer side of John Tenney.
Yeah, it's Christmas time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's not all skunk apes and Tetrax.
It's not all skunk apes and Tech Mars and UFOs, ghosties. It's time to.
I thought this. If you're competing songs, you got to beat this one. Because you might not like how he tells jokes, but he can tell a story in a song. And this is the story of the E Street Band and how they formed. When Bruce met Clarence Clemons on the boardwalk in Asbury Park.
I'll answer this with Creek Alley by the Mahoney Poppers.
All right.
About how they got together.
Boy, am I not a fan of Bruce Springsteen.
You're not a Bruce fan?
Yeah, me neither.
You know, if I took you to a Bruce Springsteen show.
It might be different.
You'd be a fan, I think.
Well, I mean, I would probably have a good time at the concert, but I'm still not going to go out and buy records and shit like that.
I mean, this is good. I don't mind Bruce Springsteen. It's like Tom Petty.
When people say Bruce Springsteen to me, I think like, is that Tom Petty or Boz Scaggs or fucking like, well, what the hell? What is Boz Scaggs?
Well,
what is that?
I get shit for this sometimes. Tom Petty does nothing for me.
Yeah.
I've
been to Tom Petty concerts more than once.
Were we wrapping up early?
We were. We're going to wrap up now. Go ahead,
Corey.
Play
that sad cowboy music.
I'm going to get that. Corey, go ahead.
No, I was going to, if you really want to make the Ford plant jump.
You know what? I think the Ford plant is fine.
You go ahead and
make those cars. You don't need to listen to my bullshit.
I think a little Panama is how we take them out here.
Take
us right out.
All right. Because those guys were all, you know, smoking joints.
Oh, yeah.
Let's listen to some of that shit. Yeah. So I'm going to do it. I might kick this microphone over.
That's a brand new mic stand, Teddy.
This new mic stand might be going.
Get
out of here.
You're going to go full David Lee Roth with the samurai sword.
For sure. I don't know if these pants can handle the fucking super kick that I do.
I just...
Super Kiku!
Hey, the exchange student came back from the 80s party earlier.
The Dogger's back.
Oh, we did send to the Bon Jovi.
No, now listen, Joel ain't no Chinaman.
No. All right, here you go. Here you go, guys.
Woo!
Oh, there goes Corey. Oh, we just lost Corey. Any more panda cookies left? That doesn't look like it.
Joel, I think the last panda in there is playing a guitar.
This certainly would have been at the middle school dance as well.
Absolutely.
Probably Jump might have been in there. There we go.
All right, we're going to take you to the top of the hour. A little bit of Van Halen. Rocking out. I got to go. Coming up after me is the Grease Man, taking it into the 4 a.m. hour.
After that is a Rockin' Joel Fragamenti. He ain't no faggot, ladies.
And then coming up in the morning hours, it's Big Booby Sharon coming back on, taking you through your workday week. Maui time. Baby!
All right, well, let's officially get out of here.
What did you think about the
what is that?
What was that?
That was Bob. It was a Bob.
You fucking killed the vibe, man!
Well,
we're
this...
coming out!
All right, well, again, I want to thank Tanny. I want to thank Corey.
I get so sad.
Thank everyone. I know. It's all right. Maybe you could put this on at the middle school dance. It would dance slow, kind of a waltzy.
Those fuckers would all hit their phones.
Yeah.
Start going on Instagram. This fucking sucks.
They're not allowed to have phones at my nephew's middle school.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I will volunteer to DJ the next middle school dance.
All right.
I'm in. You ask me, I'm
all
in.
Right.
I'm there. I'll bring my Google Play all access.
You'll do great.
Rock the house,
you'll
baby.
You'll do great.
I'll do it all. All replacements.
Corey, Joel, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us, John.
Tenney, thank you for sending 2013 off for the bang.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And don't forget next time, the assholes of the year.
I'll listen to that
one. It's great.
I'll listen to that
one. You're going to love it. We always do a great assholes of the year for you at the end of the year.
I'm just thinking about John with his big spiked up faux hawk hair in high school.
It was a long time ago, my friends.
You had the big like Robert Smith wave, didn't you?
I did. It was a long time
ago. Look at it now.
I was thin. I was thin. I had hair.
The waves have died down.
I had a big bouncy Jew fro. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Corey was the ugliest Jewish woman I ever knew back then.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Joel Radio, we're leaving. See you.